This is Goyfire 58. TNB Wink Hat stopped 40 caliber bullet. New Zimbabwe $100 trillion note is worth $300. GM bankrupt. Hillary names Posner assistant secretary. Mahler convicted. Bishop Williamson is deported from Argentina. Rocky Mountain News dies. San Francisco Chronicle dies. Adam Carolla podcast popular. Obama picks Genachowski to head FTC. And Clovis tools discovered in Colorado. Back to our top story tonight. Wing hat stops bullet. Kansas City, Missouri. Police said a woman's tightly woven hair weave saved her life. Police were called to a Kansas City market at about 11:30 p.m. Wednesday. Arriving officers found the 20-year-old Wu man there. She told police she had pulled into the market and saw a man with whom she had recently ended an 8-month relationship. One thing led to another, and
it actually says, and this is typical of these local moron reporters, and actually it's everywhere. I was reading a thread last night on Jim Goad's site talking about lamenting the decline in editing standards, which is now visible everywhere from the New York Times on down. But arriving officers found the 20-year-old woman there. She told police she had pulled into the market and saw a man with whom she had recently ended an 8-month relation. Doesn't say relationship, it just says relation, like she'd been screwing for 8 months.
Close enough. Tired of fucking with the man.
She pulled up that leg and let him hit that.
She's a redhead, too. You know, it doesn't come through your audio.
Anyway, I guess her Negro technology saved the day.
Yeah, she said she put a lot of money into that weave, and she was so glad of it. And, you know, you may remember a few years ago we did the story about the Jew who ripped off the government for $160 million in bad flak jackets to send to Iraq. Well, imagine if they can get these two minorities together and have these wig hats, they can use the hair weave technology for the new flak jackets, improved. Or maybe wrap the buns around Mr. and Mrs. Obama's head as protection. Buns or ponytails, whatever they got.
It's an inner city helmet.
Her back windshield was shot out. You know, her back.
Yeah, I don't know if, it's funny, I haven't seen too many pictures of Obama's wife. I don't know if she has that kind of hair weave type stuff going on, but basically any black who has hair below the ear has something unnatural going on, because few blacks can grow hair below their ears. It's just the way they're made in order to survive the jungle heat, I guess. They need to shed degrees so their hair doesn't grow long, and that has the effect of making them even less attractive in their overall competition with white women and even Asian women. But yeah, this took place in Kansas City. This is pretty typical nigger stuff. I mean, where I am, we have one of the big three affiliates out here, and they will show Kansas City news, which I never watch, but in the one or two times a year I might watch it, it's just standard nigger bullshit. I think actually, some of these cities in Kansas and Kansas City and Omaha, Wichita, these actually have some of the worst nigger violence nationwide. It's not as well known among people. They think, you know, oh, it's good white farmers out there on the plains. Yeah, there's some of that out there in the true plains, but the big cities that are kind of on the eastern side of the plains, they're all now filled with niggers and Mexican gangbangers who, if you watch the news, it's just story like this after story like this. You know, some asshole robbing someone, leading police on a chase in his SUV and ending up, you know, overturned, or with someone murdered. Story after story like that. These anywhere blacks go, they end up destroying when they concentrate in large enough numbers, and nobody's allowed to talk about it. So the fact that, as we're going to discuss later in the show, newspapers going out of business. Hell, they're not telling you what's going on anyway, so nothing to worry
about.
Kansas
City's almost divided between Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas. Of course, Kansas being the white side shopping center city, and then the Missouri side where all the Negroes are.
Well, I think, you know, this is a new one. Kevlar wigs. I mean, that's got to be a bestseller in the years to come.
Well, I don't know. It seems like through media and through music or whatever, the if you ever watch like BET, especially late at night when they have on all their dirty hoe type shit, you just see these women. Maybe they exist in real life, but blacks have gotten to where they will hair color their hair. They'll put in all these weaves. They'll tie it all together so they have a huge, huge supernatural rack of hair. And evidently, it really is. Yeah, if you know Tina Turner, yeah, exactly. And then they might color it so you get these gross looking American people whose skin is actually darker than their hair, and they may have it blonde, or they may have it all greased up, or they may have all kinds of stuff weaved and fused inside. It's just utterly nasty and ridiculous. But that's
Negro
how
nuclear fusion.
That's what Negroes do.
Alex, those are the neo sex symbols. I'd have you know.
Well, maybe to themselves, they're trying to escape being black, which obviously you'd want to escape that. But you know, buying hair from someone in India and fusing it to your scalp is pretty nasty way to go. They spend all kinds of money on that.
How about horsehair?
I don't know if they use horsehair. What I understand, it comes from India, but they one thing for certain, they spend a lot of money on hair. Blacks do. There's always all kinds of stories about that everywhere. Everywhere you look, they're writing about black hair and the weaves, relaxants, and chemicals they use to try to make it approximate human hair.
Jerry
Heimdall succeed.
Heimdall just put up a great video on Pod Blanc called Negroology or something, and it had 50 Cent in it with a big curly weave, and it had the history of male Negro hairstyles. And some of them, I guess the jerry curls tend to catch on fire, like as Michael Jackson's did. But it's really a fascinating subculture lore Whitey doesn't know too much about.
No, yeah, I was reading a story the other day about discussing just these racks and rows of they had in the stores for serving up black hair care products, which you, if you're white, you don't think about it, but you know, shampoo, conditioner, or something like that. But they're going to totally have to, they have to chemically burn it to straighten it out to make it look sort of like white hair.
Right, and then they attach adornments to it, or large fake hair attachments. And
it almost makes you long for the days of Angela Davis and Link from the Mod Squad.
They clip it on like Velcro.
Yeah, and they spend a lot of money doing it. It's yet another way black families are famous for spending on liquor and bling. Even blacks who have a similar income to whites tend to have far less in assets. They find whenever they study this, because they put their money into this kind of thing, either buying externals, because they don't have anything going on inside their heads. They have everything is a matter of show and impressing other people, whether it's your hair or your car. So they're just a pathetic jungle culture that ought to be completely separated from ours, as pretty much every president said up into the middle of the 20th century when the Jewish control became too strong. So
yeah, is this a case of not being able to turn a silk purse into a sow's ear?
It is a case of not being able to do that, but yet spending tens of thousands of dollars in the attempt. And this is what black women spend their money on.
Well, in this case, it's happened to save her life.
Yeah, a typical nigger scene. I mean, there's a photo on the link here and Country View Market, and you just see a bunch of niggers, you know, at midnight, and they're all wandering around dully, and one of them shooting at the other ones. And in a freak happening, I guess she was saved by the tightness of her weave. Although it may be that the hair was simply so large that it caught the bullet, and it wasn't actually going to penetrate her skull in the first place, because it wasn't aimed directly, or it missed, but it got caught in the hair. Who knows? I doubt it was coming in directly.
It was slowed down by the window a little bit, went through the window.
Yeah, surely there should be some ballistic studies done on this, because we've discussed this. We don't. Some people on the forum seem to think a .40 caliber bullet just won't do the job.
Yeah, they need the new nigger head of the DOJ, Eric Holder, to assign the guy to do ballistics.
You guys remember Tupac? I believe he was shot at least twice in the head, and it didn't take. Yeah, it wouldn't penetrate his skull.
We have a story that one guy that jumped out of the third floor of a Denver courthouse, I think it was, and landed on his head, and was only in critical condition.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a dive.
Oh, yeah, the difference between black and white is not just skin and color, as the idiots and the liars say. It's a thousand different physical differences, including bone thickness and nature of hair, of quality of hair, texture of hair. But yeah, I guess this is a funny story if you consider random, stupid, pointless nigger violence carried on in the middle of a major white country to be funny.
That brings us into the number two team, B, doesn't it, Aegis? Violence or attempted violence, or is that love?
I do believe we have an immigrant, I'm going to let you run with this story chain, who's been sending love letters to Obama.
Yeah, Saad Hussein, S-A-A-D, sent HIV-infected blood, dried blood. He used a razor blade, he said, to cut his finger. I think he sent him a couple of letters, and he's originally from Ethiopia, where Haile Selassie is from. 29 years old, been in the United States 3 years, never had a job. Why, no need. And he sent it for some reason to Springfield. Maybe he was too much influenced by Obama's talking about Abraham Lincoln of Springfield all these years. And of course, Springfield's where Obama used to be in the legislature of the state as a state senator. But odd, he sent it there. And the FBI tracked him down. And some while ago, I'm not sure, a year or so ago, he'd been arrested for starting a fire in the middle of a busy Chicago intersection and yelling, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah's great. So the two Husseins, isn't, you know, one of them one of them, a citizen of Kenya, now the president of the United States, and one of them a ne'er-do-well who's had the unfortunate happenstance to have gotten pop for something for which Obama couldn't even buy, which Obama couldn't even have caught AIDS. Didn't he have some other grouses there, Aegis? I forgot them all. He sent one to Rahm Emanuel, didn't he?
He certainly did, and he wanted tickets for the
inauguration.
Yes, he wanted front row seats.
He had a lawn chair, too, probably. Put him in a lawn chair with helium balloons and let him drop HIV blood on the crowd. Yeah, it's a funny story. A valued immigrant, and I hope he turns his life around with the love and care of the United States government. Sure he'll be.
Well, he's surely now off to Nigger U.
Nigger U?
The university for niggers, otherwise known as the penitentiary.
Oh, that would be the good name for the entire United States now, Nigger U. Anyway.
Well, speaking of another Nigger U, Zimbabwe. We have Zimbabwe in the news again. The Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe said on Friday it was introducing a 100 trillion Zimbabwe dollar bill as part of anti-inflation measures. Mm-hmm. A new note is worth about $300 on the black market.
Oh, it's worth quite a bit.
The agency said Zimbabwe was also introducing 10 trillion, 20 trillion, and 50 trillion Zim dollar notes.
They're making us look like cheapskates with 1.7 trillion, 12.5 trillion in the hole, huh?
Wow. A line in the story says Zimbabwe's inflation is officially put at 231 million%, while independent financial institutions estimate it could be more than 500 quintillion. I don't even know what that is, but I don't know how they put any value on these notes at all, or how anyone estimates anything, or why anyone would take any one of these pieces of paper with printing on it in exchange for any real good, like an egg.
Well, the Israelis were sent in to supposedly monitor, they sent themselves in more likely to monitor this last election in which I think Mugabe's sharing power, isn't he? But maybe they're printing the notes as well. Somebody on VNNforum.com suggested that maybe the Jews are the ones who are actually printing these notes. I noticed that a $100 trillion note would buy you an EDAR in the United States, or at least three-fifths of an EDAR, because they cost $500. Everyone deserves a roof. These are these mobile shopping carts with a kind of a tent structure that reaches a peak in the center so that you can sit up, and they have really tough plastic wheels that are bolted on in stainless steel. They're made actually in a shopping cart factory. Mm-hmm. And they're passing them out in L.A. to this 80,000, I think, homeless in L.A. They don't have that many of them out there yet, or just a few hundred. But they had some Negroes test driving them. One of them was sitting in the middle in her video, and he goes, "What do you think?" He says, "I think it works." He says, "I think I like it." It was pretty funny. And so the EDARs, imagine if you had $200 trillion, you could buy yourself an EDAR if you had to pay cash, which you don't, and have $100 left over. But maybe the white Americans who are switching to EDAR living might have to pay for theirs.
Well, you know, I see this monkey, Mugabe, and he's also going after the white farmers again, too. And as we know, this is a country with a population of, I've forgotten the numbers, but they've driven off basically 80-90% of the whites. They've killed four figures of farmers, and they've been starving and had the worst inflation in the world for well over a year now. And then we see Mugabe, who is this aged, Western-educated monkey, right? He's had all the benefits of white Christian upbringing and education. He has something like 8 honorary degrees or honorary and real degrees, and this is how he acts. Meaning white farmers must leave their farms because they are not welcome in Zimbabwe. So even as people are starving, there's this monkey is trying to drive out whatever remaining whites there are who can bring any semblance of normal life to his country, because it's all about race first and food and even life after that. And so it will be with the U.S. eventually if they get enough numbers.
We have a video up, and they're digging for gold in some local rivers there, and it costs 1/10 of a gram of gold to buy a loaf of bread. So the old people cannot dig, and they're also digging in literally dirt pits, you know, sort of adjacent to the riverbanks, and looks like they're down to about, 15, 20 feet in some cases. And actually, they look a little bit excited to actually have some hard currency and be able to buy food. Kind of grouse and complain a little bit, but it's better than not eating, at least for some of them who are willing to do the work.
Well, that really, I think that runs into some of our other stories about the decline of economics in the U.S. and the way they're attempting to remedy it with paper, just the way they are here, just deficit spending.
GM Chairman Rick Wagoner pressed Thursday to convince Washington to provide more aid as the company revealed a massive loss, coupled with a warning that its auditors are likely to question the automaker's viability.
Soon a homeless Wagoner himself, perhaps. Pretty close to it.
Yeah, it was a further sign that the century-old automaker is teetering on bankruptcy, a scenario that General Motors Corp. is desperately trying to avoid.
Yeah, well, from what I've heard and read, they lose about $4,000 per car, so they are effectively bankrupt right now. And I guess the only part of their business even remotely viable is their financing corporation. That's a GMAC or whatever it is that's tied in with them. But, you know, they've already established a pattern. I know last night they gave another, the feds gave another $30 billion to prop up AIG after they've already given it, I don't know what, I think over $100 billion. So what we're seeing here in the U.S. is really the old Fabian socialist plan of basically they don't want anybody other than the government owning any assets. And that way, the coterie of socialists at the heart of society can control everybody. They don't have anybody who has any independent power center because all the money and all the political power is sucked into the center of the country, and then they'll let you have what they want you to have. And in that way, they can direct how everybody lives. And more things are going along this line, and the common people, having been raised in public schools, don't know any better than to accept that the government is their wise and benevolent father who knows what's best for them.
Right. It's morphing into a top-down command economy where you have a messiah-like NLP street pimp doling out the goods.
Mugabe has done in Zimbabwe is only orders of magnitude worse than what Barack Obama is going to try to do in the U.S., but it's exactly the same thing. They're going to deficit spending. Deficit spending is the theory of this British faggot socialist called Lord Keynes. And his idea was that now the correct way to get out of a recession is for people to save money. And as they save more money and pool up their capital, then they can get into expanding their business. But if they've made what the economists call malinvestments, that is bad investments, or things have failed, well, you have to let them fail. And then you begin a new cycle after cycle after cycle after trench, and you resave some money, and then you reinvest it again. But what Washington wants to do is keep the bubble going endlessly by printing money and passing it out to its the people who will do what it wants with it, and that will make them look like the good guys. So they print endless amounts of money. Now we're not up to quintillion dollar notes yet, or trillion dollar notes the way they are in Zimbabwe, but that is the direction we're heading. Indeed, all governments that have a central bank operate in that way, and they are allowed to create money out of thin air. And what that means is they run the printing presses, and they use the new money that they create to steal value from you who have to work to earn it, so that your dollars become worth less. And they get at first dibs with their new dollars, and they put them out, they spend them, they send them to their banks. Their banks loan it out and make interest on it. So they make money, but you have your purchasing power stolen from you. And now the government is trying to run insurance. It's trying to run, the auto industry. It's
mortgages.
Probably going to mortgages. It's going to try to take on the healthcare as well. That's long been one of the favorites of the socialists. The communists is they want to run the healthcare system. And what that always means is that they lure the people in with a promise that it's going to be free, but it just means that you're going to have to give up a huge new chunk of your paycheck, and you'll only be able to go to doctors that they allow you to go to for treatment of what they want you to be treated for. And it's turning over personal power to the government and politicians, and
right,
that's
and
what they
course,
like. Ultimately, they want everything in their cutting, and that's where we're headed in the U.S.
I wanted to mention that that GMC financing arm, I can't even think of the precise name of it now. We had the videos up about the head of it, but he's a major Zionist, and he had a separate corporation before they went to D.C. to get this last bailout money, which they've already burned through, by the way, GM has. And the long and the short is he got ripped off by Bernard Madoff for, I believe it was $1 billion in his other company. It started with an A. I can't remember the name. But this fellow is a major Zionist. He's a Jew, major Zionist. His dad was a big backer of Yeshiva University. So is he. I mean, it's just another Jew who most Americans never heard of, wouldn't probably know he was a Jew if they heard his name, but there he is, ruining a major American corporation, and all in the name of financial responsibility and, marquee.
Mm-hmm. And this article says GM reported an annual loss of $30.9 billion. So they are bankrupt, regardless of what they call it. I know their stock has declined to basically about 3% of what it was, so it's essentially worthless.
Right, so if the government steps in and just creates make work at a loss, it's more or less just a welfare program.
Well, yeah, the problem here is that by one of the libertarians' favorites, I think his name is Bastiat, he's a French writer, he pointed this out a few hundred years ago. The thing is, when Obama says, I'm going to stimulate the economy, the media, who are on the side of the government, never asked the obvious question, where does he get the money to stimulate the economy? He's not earning it or making it himself. There's only two ways they can get money. Either they tax it away from people who have it, i.e. the very same ones they're supposed to be wanting to stimulate, or they print it themselves. And in fact, what they're going to do do is both. They're gonna increase taxes across the board while claiming they're only going to get the rich, and they're also going to print money out of thin air, and they're going to loan it out. The point here is that whatever productive power there is being lessened by these. Obama has never run anything in his life. He has no expertise in anything. He probably couldn't run a McDonald's if he had to run it to make a profit. But he's been voted into office. He's promoted as this great guy who knows what he's doing. Well, he's going to take these people's money, the money of the people he's supposedly trying to stimulate, and what's he going to do with it? He's going to give it out to his supporters. They're going to take money from whites who have earned it and turn it over to useless niggers.
Mugabe style.
You know, and the point here, and the media will, whatever he does, they can immediately point to and say, oh, look what a good thing this is. Like, he's going to do his deficit spending. Well, immediately, the newspaper reporters are out there saying, look, they're going to build new bridges in Missouri and new highways in Iowa, etc. So you get the feeling of, oh, there's something good being done with the money. What they don't tell you is, where did that money come from? What uses did the people who they took it from have? And aren't those people, by virtue of the very fact that they had the money in the first place, aren't they exactly the ones are going to be damaged rather than stimulated? But the point is, if you steal money from someone and spend it on something, that's something visible that can be pointed to by the media, whereas the lost productive power is invisible. That was Bastiat's main point. Like, the real effects of this stuff are mostly invisible, but because the effects of what they're doing are visible and can be focused on by the media, they're going to tend to outweigh the intellectual knowledge that what is lost is more than what is gained, if you understand what I'm saying. So they can point to the real, look, they made a new bridge. This is part of Obama's, okay, well, where did they get the money from? How much less in capacity does the guy who runs a, say the guy who's a private carpenter, how much less capacity does he have? Or someone who's in construction, how much less money do they have? The point is, Obama's taking money from you to use on his projects, and you can well believe that his projects include buying off more and more of these inner city nigger ferals, right? By taking your wealth and your capacity and money out of your kid's mouth and turning it over to his people.
His urban czar, Alex.
And niggers.
Yeah, how about the wars?
Yeah, his new urban czar is a Hispanic nigger who speaks Spanish, and he's already been, you know, tit for tat taking money from developers and then granting them, he gets $6,000 and gives them a $80 million deal. And they know this.
Well, they're taking money from the productive white middle class, so they're turning it over to their own clowns after extracting a percentage themselves for being middlemen.
Right.
And this is what it's like in a socialist country where,
or a bar,
essentially, you're not allowed to criticize it, and you have high taxes, and you're not allowed to criticize what's going on. So Hillary Clinton and Obama and the rest of their clown central are going to live high off the hog while you do worse and worse.
Speaking of that, I think Obama would be an excellent McDonald's manager. I envision myself walking in and seeing Obama behind the counter. He'd smile and greet you, and I how you doing? Hey, how you doing, Craig? I said, Obama, how are you, brother? I think
maybe he would.
I think you gave him a very gratuitous slight there, Alex.
Well, the fact of the matter is, though, he has never done anything like that. Right. He has been in the shakedown business, down business. What do you think a community organizer is? Well, we know a community organizer
Acorn.
Is someone who goes, they go out and they threaten, unless you do what we say, we are going to damage your business. Because they are on the same side as government and the media, they get backed up. Whereas the media doesn't like if we protest or we want something changed our own way, if it's merely back to official legal equality, not on our side, and they harass and attack us. I mean, there are so many angles or aspects from which you can look at the economic the U.S. has, and what we're going to talk about later. The upside of it is all these kike papers are being driven out of business, which is absolutely wonderful. Worst people in the world. But before we get to that, I mean, look at the housing side.
Yeah.
We have the government backing up all these with Fannie Mae and whatever the heck they're named. It's backing up all of these mortgages. Well, people like Obama go out and they put pressure on banks to make bad loans to uncreditworthy minorities. And then when those minorities default, the government comes back in and pays the mortgages off for them, as Obama is doing right now. So the point here is, this whole thing in all these various manifestations is simply the government extracting money from productive whites and turning it over to incompetent facts. And all white gets out, white gets his money taken, and he gets a kick in the ass in return for it.
A 30 or 40 year bill is what it amounts to.
Yeah, we pay the bills for a burgeoning class of nigger ferals. And then we get bashed on the radio because we're not giving enough. It's never enough. And we get bashed for being racist on top of it by Eric Holder, who Obama nigger has just appointed to be our attorney general. And so he wants an honest talk about race. Well, that's what we're giving him. you hear at Goyfire, but you'd never hear stuff like we're saying here on Goyfire through any of the official media.
How about this irony, Alex? The Community Reinvestment Act of 1977, that's the one that started it. You know, they revised it to make it more and more liberal, and then the Acorn people like Obama, he literally trained people to go into, smaller hoods or smaller communities, basically, originally. I think they worked their way up and intimidate local bankers that they were racist, you know, go to the banker's house and such. Obama literally trained them Saul Alinsky Jew style, and that was under the Community Reinvestment Act. As you mentioned, now they're still paying them off. Rick Santelli was on the Chicago floor and had a freak out the other day about it, and then subsequently they had the St. Louis protest about that Tea Party. You know, you heard about that, 1,000 people showed up. Anyway, get this, the Community Reinvestment Act, it caused the whole thing, started with the subprimate loans, which they repackaged, sent off to Europe, the Jews of Wall Street did, and said, oh, AAA, wow, it's fucking gold. And now they ripped off the European white banks in Italy and France and Germany, so they're having to pay for it. They're even worse off than the U.S., if you can believe that, at least in the short term. And now this recovery.gov site, they have a thing called the Community Reinvestment Bank, and they're still using this term reinvestment. And they call the act the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. You know, that's a lot of nerve and cheek. After the Reinvestment Act and the Community Reinvestment Act, that's what it was called, pardon me, caused the whole goddamn thing, and now they're using the same term. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, just like right in your face. Who knows? Who cares? You don't know.
Well described, Greg. Yeah. The key here for our listeners is to understand that all these various things are mechanisms for extracting everything good that whites have and can produce and turning it over to non-whites, especially Jews and colored minorities, while browbeating us. So all of these acts are ways of turning black physical intimidation of whites into real effective money that they can use to buy their bling and their hair weaves. And that's what it is. I mean, banking has been around for thousands of years. They know what makes someone credit worthy. So when they apply political pressure, what they're doing is saying, hey, drop your standards. And the Republicans are just as guilty as the Democrats in this, because they're all bought off by Big Jew and they're all afraid of and intimidated by Jews and niggers. So that's what the bottom line here is. White people are allowing themselves to be intimidated out of their own possessions in their own country by these throngs of Jews and niggers. And the investment and redlining and racism, all these are garbage terms to get whites to back off and give over to these niggers what belongs to them. Back off makes it sound like we're the aggressors. No, we created something out of nothing. The Muds didn't build anything in anywhere in the world until we came along. Well, we came along and built something, and then they showed up to take it from us. And that's exactly what's going on, and the media provide cover for them. So clowns like Obama, who don't have any kind of an honest job, show up and demand an end to redlining or racism in lending, and they demand that these banks not use the standard prep for loaning money, that is, the incoming Mexican nationals and the niggers. Not enough of them qualify for loans. Therefore, their rate of home ownership is much lower than whites' rates. So how do we close that gap? That's a common theme in the media, whether it's for the SAT or any kind of educational statistic, or whether it's for stuff like loaning, because, of course, the assumption, us being good little insane liberal cultists, is that all people are equal. So there's a gap there. We have to close that gap. How do we close that gap? Well, there's only one way to do it. Give the money to the subprime loans Craig's talking about. So what they do is they bring in these illegals and they say, oh, well, I know traditionally you need to put 20% down. You know what? Waive that. You don't have to put anything down. We'll give you more money than you can afford to get you into this house. Thereby, the home ownership rates appear on paper to go up. And then you have your club, and they bundle all of these millions of loans. And most of the foreclosures are taking place in basically four states, California, Arizona, Nevada, or maybe it's Texas and then the Northeast. And this is where you have the heaviest immigration. So
Alex,
that's
19 million foreclosed vacant houses now in the country. 19 million.
Yeah, and the point here is that these subprime eights or these subprime loans are going to illegal aliens and to niggers, and they can't pay it back. But what the clever Jews come in and they're financially so inventive, they invent new investment vehicles, or what do they call them, articles or vehicles, based
residuals,
on the
residuals?
Yeah, well, packaging these loans, they come up, it doesn't matter, you just need the concept. They come up with new investment vehicles and they bundle all of these bad loans together and then they resell them around the world. And that's what's causing this whole house of cards to come collapsing down, because ultimately on people being given money who are not credit worthy. And so when they default, you've got a massive problem. problem.
Alex, we have the case of this mammy. She's like 68 or 70. And they interview her out in Cali, Kosovo. And she, first of all, she got the loan. Her husband had been dead 14 years, and he had worked as a longshoreman. They used his salary. Fucking dead for 14 years. And she said, I told him he'd been dead. And then her salary, can you call it a salary? It was either unemployment or welfare. I forget now which. Then they refinanced her 4 years straight and gave her $20K in her pocket. And you know that $20K could have trained some young white kid to be a plumber or a carpenter in any kind of a, you know, apprentice program or community college, but no. And not only is she not prosecuted, she's practically represented as a victim. Like, oh, isn't it terrible? Now she's lost her home.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's necessary.
Get her and be there post haste.
Whites can't ever be right. The system is systemically against us. White people are always scurrying around. They're very obsessed, if you look at them as a race, different from other races. They're very obsessed with doing the right thing and being responsible. And it never occurs to them to look up and see that there's no way they can win under the system. They're always guilty. Always guilty. Guilty because, A, their bank applied reasonable standards to loaning credit. And when they find that, well, not that many minorities are really credit worthy, then the people like Obama come in and say the banks are racist. They need to drop their standards. It's just exactly like it's a parallel to how it was in education. Originally, they used to say, look, blacks just want a chance to compete. Right. And then when they get the chance to compete and take the SATs and they don't do as well as whites, well, then equality itself becomes racist.
There goes
they want it every possible way. Yeah, they want it every possible way. When they don't get the loans they're not qualified for, you're a racist. And when they get the loans and they can't pay them, you're a racist for foreclosing on them. So either way, whites always lose and niggers and Jews always win. And that's why the only solution to this stuff is complete and utter political separation, de-yoking of the white race, the productive race, the good race, our race, from the useless niggers and the Jews who champion them.
And by the way, that's a logical ending after this 50-year experiment and brought on in some measure by jet travel, at least the technologies of jet travel and multimedia communications, which the Jews used to their own benefit quite malevolently. But, I mean, those technologies facilitated this. It's been a great, grand, and, I don't know, grunt society or whatever. It's all over now. It's a big 50 or 55-year bomb. And so you may as well come face-to-face with it because you've lost your country. I mean, you can wait till they come knocking on your door and invade your house. And a lot of people that's already happened to, like, you know, people like Shannon and Chris. But just keep waiting or you can defame us.
All of this is carried on as we've described it. And that's the problem. But the meta problem is that none of this can be talked about openly so that people like Phil Graham or whatever will receive the blame for, you know, some act he wrote revising the regulations governing some of these loans. But even they don't dare to come out and say exactly what we've said because it's too plain spoken. You can't speak plainly in the U.S. It won't be reported anywhere. Or if it is and you make a public spectacle of it, they'll call you a hater for saying exactly what I've described, even though it's 100% accurate.
And what about our major countries already destroyed by this? The USA now, clearly, George Soros was at Columbia University this week, and he said that the only thing he can possibly compare it to, and for all of you neocons and Christians, surely you can believe the Jew multi-billionaire George Soros, who's been called a criminal by the leader of Thailand and Malaysia, the ex-leaders, international criminal. Anyway, he says it can only be compared to the Soviet Union. So if the Soviet Union collapses, he's telling, basically to me, he's just telling those Jew kids at Columbia, go home and tell your folks, move their assets and interests around, and they can profit big, just like I have been.
You know? Well, you know, the only logical step here for white people who are paying attention is we have to have a white nation 100% free of Jews. And until we liberate ourselves from the Jews, we are going to have this kind of problem because you can't discuss any of this stuff. You can't solve a problem if you cut the feedback loop. Reality is the feedback loop. You can have whatever illusions you want, but reality will prevent your illusions, that is your false perceptions, from becoming illusions, delusions. That is when you really bring them in and assume them in and they become part of your belief system. Anybody can be fooled or tricked by appearances, but if you don't allow reality to correct it, and that's the function that the media is supposed to have, but it doesn't have that because A, it's concentrated and it's held in a few hands, and the point is not they're corporate owned, that they're kike owned, and the kike political agenda doesn't allow any of the true facts of the situation to be discussed. Jews control the media because they have. Theirs is a tiny, weird, itty-bitty minority view that the majority doesn't subscribe to, and which is in direct competition and contrast and opposition to the majority interest of the people making up the white country and paying all of the taxes. And they can't allow that. What incentive do we normal white people have to let tens of millions of Mexicans come to the country and be given liar's loans, another term for subprime loans, Alt-A loans is still a third synonym for it. What incentive do we whites have to let in tens of millions of Mexicans veterans and then give them money, give them free health care, give them free education, and then not be able to talk about our media because they're controlled by the Jews, who are, in fact, the authors of all this insanity.
Alex, tell them how they flipped houses there in Cali, Kosovo for $100,000, how some spick sold one to his Mexican gardener, a spick with a Mexican gardener, for $100,000, how the banks would okay him and just literally pass him the cash. Here's the money. And then they say, oh, well, I cannot afford to pay it after all. And then they walk out with $100,000 split. And it literally is a split, just like in The Sting or something.
I don't know about that. I mean, the basic problem here is you have malinvestment because you have the Jews running the Fed,
yeah,
which is an unaudited private organization that is allowed to print money. When they're printing money like that, that money has to go somewhere, and where it went to after the dot-com crash was into real estate. And so that's what we're seeing. All these people are corruptly trying to make a dollar, and they're all people who aren't qualified for loans are getting the loans. People who know that they shouldn't be underwriting these loans are doing it partly as a result of political pressure, as we described, and also partly because they went from writing the loan, and then they just turn around and resell it. So nobody has a direct stake.
Well, Hillary Clinton is in the news. Clinton set to name Posner to top rights job. Hillary Clinton is set to nominate a Jewish activist who has led efforts to counter anti-Semitism as her human rights czar. The Secretary of State soon will name Michael Posner, a founder of Human Rights First, as Assistant Secretary for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor, Bloomberg News reported Wednesday.
Now, by the way, you guys, let me mention this word czar as soon as I heard it. You know, Robert Byrd from West Virginia has been in the Senate, I think, longer than anybody, certainly longer than any Democrat. You know, well, I don't know, probably 3.5-4 decades. He says that he wrote a letter to Obama about these czars because it's basically making an end run around the Senate's right to confirm heads of departments and cabinet heads. They just arbitrarily, by executive, flash and dash of the pen, say, oh, here's your budget, and you have, you know, you're under this secretary. However, you answer to Obama personally. So, you know, to use the term czar, I don't know, it's not exactly Bolshevik, is it? But
the irony is that the Jews murdered the czar in Russia, but that's just a kind of tongue-in-cheek name they give to this stuff here in this country. So what can we say here? I'm not too sure about this. I feel like I should know more about this guy, but I don't recall seeing the name Michael Posner. I would guess it's Posner myself, but a founder of human rights. And anytime you see something with a name that is neutral or positive, but it's always kind of vague and something like human rights, that's always going to be a communist thing, almost surely a front for New World Order garbage or for Jewish ethnic specific garbage. So you know, this guy has done blah, blah, blah in relation to Rwanda and the former Yugoslavia. So, yeah, I don't know much about this guy's background, so I can't really comment on this, but he appears to be your pretty typical lefty who's out there carrying water for the neocons and calling anybody they don't like a war criminal. And then in the same hand, they'll flip around. This type of person will flip around and demand that the U.S. not get involved in the racism conference that the U.N. is going to put on because it criticizes Israel and says Zionism is racism. So the U.S., Canada, and another state have pulled out of that. So this is the typical double talk of the kike.
Human rights first is unique among the major human rights watchdogs in that it targets governments for not doing enough to combat hate crimes.
Yeah, and these clowns will work in conjunction with like the pedophiles who run those organizations, the queers and the pedophiles who run these Marxist political groups that affect to be neutral human rights watchdogs and put out their reports. Their reports are repeated by the absolutely pathetic losing our mass media reporters, and they all work together to create an environment which is good for bitches, queers, and niggers, and bad for normal white people. This is what normal whites have to understand. If they call someone a hater, that's someone who's legitimately representing your interests, because they understand the interests of the Jews are counter to yours. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I was going to mention, in terms of Jews that have been nominated in general, just a few I know off the top of my head. There's this Jared Bernstein, who's an economist directly working for Biden. Then there's Philip Schlegel, S-W-A-G-E-L. He's literally a Chabad Lubavitchers, and if you go to the Chabad Lubavitcher website, he's listed in their network of worldwide Chabad Lubavitchers. He's the Undersecretary of the Treasury, and he came out and said that he could not explain where the billions have been going, but he was going to do his best to find out. No accountability. I think Biden's been charged with determining where they're all going, so who knows? It's really just, to me, another, more like a mega mega Bernard Madoff scam.
Well,
only
you know,
3%
Craig,
of this money is ever printed.
So the thing is, they're able to fool the majority of the people. I look around on the internet, and whenever I see a neutral forum, you've got the Bush lovers. Well, now almost nobody likes Bush, but the left and the right go after each other exactly as the elites intend. And the point here is, Craig's talking about the appointments. They may be a slightly different set of kikes than the ones Bush appointed, but that's the point. They're just it's swing shift for the Jew factory. And people like Obama and Bush, there's almost no real difference between them other than symbolically. Now, that may be a big difference, but in point of fact, on a day-to-day, a daily basis, they've got Jew speech writers. They're appointing Jews at the top of all those things, and it's the Jewish agenda that's being carried out, maybe with a slightly different emphasis than under Bush, but essentially the same anti-white, pro-Jew, colored majority emphasis or agenda that is, in the end, it's anti-white, anti-normal white middle-class person.
Aegis was calling it a sorcery earlier, Alex, when we were talking sorcery. There's a lot to that, I think, you know, in terms of their media and how it just bombards our kids. I mean, from the time they're really, really young, guys our age at least got away from a little bit of it. We didn't have to ingest it all, but...
Well, I think that there's, across the board, they're pushing multicultural garbage in every possible venue, online, offline, billboards, TV, internet sites, mainstream portals like Yahoo and Google and whatever. They're always pushing this multicultural garbage in order to brainwash people that the new world is going to be a grab bag of people and they're all going to mix and mate and have promiscuous but protected sex and in the end produce a tan every man, as it's been called, and do away with all races but the Jews in this wonderful new world order that will be ruled out of Jerusalem or out of Tel Aviv in New York. And the Jews will make all the important decisions for the rest of us and we'll be eternal children / slaves / cattle. That's what they're trying to build.
Yeah, well, I wish the billionaires like Larry Page, who owns Google and YouTube, wouldn't go after beautiful shiksas like looks like Keith Richards' wife, that Hansen woman. He married this beautiful Aryan. I'm so sick of how come they have to pollute our women's minds? Well, I know why, because they control their wombs. But it's really, really disgusting. I even see it over here, and I mean, you know, I complain a lot about it to Aegis, but I mean, you know, when they have these women over here, Alex, going after UNICEF and involved in the George Soros Open Society and Open Estonia and all the rest, and all they are fronts for hate whites under the guise of, I know a white girl said she loves children, she'd have 10 if she were rich, and she wanted to adopt a Somali, maybe. And she's a single mom now. I said, excuse me, I have to go vomit. You know, I don't even think she got the joke, but I got up and left.
Well, at every corner, whites are presented with bad options. And on one channel, you know, go be a stupid, promiscuous slut, and then people will love you, and you'll get all the attention you want. And then you flip the channel, and it's, save Africa and the Children's Fund. And whites are made to feel responsible for everybody else in the world's problems. But, you know, it's like trying to rescue someone who's drowning is going to grab onto you and drag you right down with them. We can't save niggers. We can't save failure people. What we can do is lose our own.
Yeah, but just as they promote every form of degeneracy, they vilify all of the positions that would defend our race and our way of life as hate and as wrong and as unpopular as evil. So it's extremely severe, and it is almost a form of sorcery in that these women, who otherwise would have been our companions and helpers, are turned into our worst enemies.
Yeah, well, it's Magic Kingdom sorcery, because magic is when something happens and you cannot explain why. Most whites cannot explain or divine Jewish verbal skills, as Professor McDonald has explained to us all, and we've figured out through years of study.
Whites tend to take things at face value, and they don't look any deeper or question any motives, and they don't understand what ties all this together. So they assume that things are the way they more or less should be.
Yeah.
You know, and they only understand problems or deceptions at a low level. And you know, now you've got people like Holder. They're reintroducing their hate crime bills, and they're reintroducing their gun bans to do away with whatever rights Americans have left, created by white Americans for their own posterity. That is, other white Americans. White American itself is redundant. Only whites can be Americans. It wasn't created for non-whites.
Well, speaking of a hate crime, Horst Mahler has been imprisoned for debunking yet again the Hollow Hoax, otherwise known as the Holocaust.
From Adolf to clear this world, don't matter if they don't meddle little girls. All them Jews, they run and catch. shower when it's time to take a shower. And the ones that think they got away, yo, this is what I gotta say. Certified lieutenant of the German military, and all them cracks, they think I'm really scary. I sack they family up in piles, and all my Nazi brothers, yo, a big Z pile. I'll bake them Jews, and then I drag them out to the yard, toss them on a meat wagon, and it won't be long until they're dying. They in the oven now when the temperature's rising. What you gonna do with all them Jews? All them Jews with all them shoes. I'ma kill them Jews. Kill them Jews and take their shoes. What you gonna do with all them kikes? All them kikes that you don't like. I'ma kill them kikes. Kill them kikes with railroad spikes.
We have a story here. Of course, it's titled German Neo-Nazi Convicted of Holocaust Denial. He's also presented in a rather unfashionable way, but let's just say truth teller Horst Mahler was convicted for posting videos denying the Holocaust on the internet and distributing CDs among promoting anti-Jewish hatred and violence.
And what's your source for this?
This is the Herald Tribune.
No, but it's an Associated Press article.
Okay.
So
right.
The
yeah.
Key here is this is the news service, the stories from which the stories from their stringers make up about, you know, 50% paper, if not more. And so this is the main wire story they're putting out is, you know, that notice that they never, ever deal in specifics because the public has been conditioned to regard to accept that people fall into categories like haters and deniers and whatever. And it's very bizarre if you look at it from an objective or rational point of view, but it works with the mass of people. They know that Mahler's a bad guy, and so he's being put in jail. And you know, the fact that he's disputing specific historical lies that the Jews have put out there to fool people, well, that goes by the boards. They don't ever discuss what precisely Mahler is saying and why it's wrong or right. They never get into it at that level. It's just debated at the level of childish superficialities because that's good enough for most Americans. And in fact, what I was going to say is, you know, right now we've got Geert Wilders. I don't know how his name is pronounced, but he's a Dutch guy, and he's standing up to Islam in Europe and in Holland, which takes some bravery because the Muslims have killed a couple of others who did so. But the thing is, he's over here in the U.S., and all the neocons are writing columns about it and how evil Islam is. Their specific thing, Islam threatens Jews. And so you won't ever hear a word about Mahler. That gets one little story in the newspaper, but not a single of the neocon Jewish columnists will ever write about the fact that most PAC in Europe in jail for speech crimes are there because they criticize Jews. All you ever hear about is the rare critic of Islam who might get a fine or some jail time. And it's just the usual double standard. Whatever is good for Jews is all they ever write about or think about. And that's what white people stand, hence this show.
Mahler had used to have been a communist in the 70s, late 60s. I remember when I was young, I was a late teenager. And it was really, I was not communist ever, but it was pretty interesting and thrilling because these guys would be out there with machine guns. You know, it was like a European action movie, their exploits and literally pulling bootleg turns and robbing banks and such. Mahler was right in there with him. He was one of them, and they finally got him in October of 1970, and I think he did 10 of a 14-year sentence, which is awfully light. But, you know, in the United States, he'd be in for life, clearly.
Yeah. Well, that was a left army faction, and they certainly always treat these left-wingers more.
Yeah.
Notice he's getting almost the same sentence for speaking opinions as a right-winger as he got for being I don't know if he was an actual murderer, but he was certainly a higher up in a murderous brigade back in the 70s. So that's an example of how words from the right get more prison time than deeds from the left.
Well, it's just like Bill Ayers teaching at the University of Chicago after having bombed. No?
Excellent. Excellent parallel there. Yeah. So it's always okay to be a communist or a left winger because that's good for Jews, but it's always bad to be a right winger because that's not good for Jews. It's
right.
Good for whites.
Mahler was sentenced to 1 year above the maximum recommended 5 years in prison, saying the judge said he was, quote, completely unrepentant and totally unteachable.
Yeah. So there you go. So the law says they can only sentence him to 5 years, but hey, the law can always be suspended. He's suspended people the Jews hate.
The guy was born in 1936. He's going to die.
He's an old guy. Actually, I think he was somehow hooked up with my original partner who started a VNN with me, Regina Belzer, and she was translating his stuff into English. I know at one point, I haven't talked to her in a few years, but I know that she had a lot of his new NPD documents and his essays translated online. They probably are are still up there somewhere. But I don't know if she knew him, her, she knew him personally or not, but I would guess she does.
I read that in 97, when he flipped around and became a rightist, that he started complaining about Germany being an occupied nation and really occupied by Jewish thought forms, just like in the States so many of our families' heads are, or in our women and our... That's what really gets me. When they get down to splitting up families on the basis of the power of money, or, you know, this person has money, this one doesn't, and we're a money family. I mean, they've gotten the United States right into that, where so many Americans now, even in the face of total economic destruction, cannot find it in themselves to either get their assets out of U.S. dollars and put it into, I don't know, who knows, Swiss francs, gold, silver, weapons, food, just practical things.
Yeah,
they can't divest themselves of their big McMansions or any of it. You know, even selling it at a, you know, relative loss, not a loss, but you know what I mean. I mean, they could liquidate many, many things, but I think very few people are doing that. And so it just shows how powerful this mind-washing is.
Well, right now, I think what a lot of people are doing here in the U.S. is they're worrying because they've seen the value of their retirement funds. And their stocks have dropped. Great result. I think I read the stock market's been flat for like 12 years here in the U.S.
I thought the average loss was about 40%. I've read that figure.
That would make sense. I've certainly seen a lot of people say that. And I think the myth here is that, you know, long-term, we got to be like Warren Buffett has said. He's always been bullish on America. And anyone who's against America being great in the future is a fool. He's said stuff like that in the past. He had like one of his worst years ever last year, I believe. And I'm sure that
his income's down 96%, I read, of Berkshire Hathaway. 96% down.
You know. Yeah, they just had an article within the last 2 or 3 days of last week about him basically coming out. And I think he gives annual speeches to his stockholders, to whatever. But he had some report saying, yeah, he made a bunch of bad decisions and the market was down. But he's always been a long-term bull in the future of the U.S., which has struck me as it struck me that he's not paying real close attention to stuff, which would seem odd in someone who's famous for being a great investor. But I don't see how anyone would think the U.S. has a good long-term future based on what I see. I see decline on almost every front.
He literally said nobody ever made money betting against the U.S. He said that, what, like 30 or 60 days after he made $10 billion betting against the U.S. dollar, you know?
Yeah.
$10 billion.
Well, at least we can tell Warren Buffett, I told you so. But getting back to these Holocaust deniers, we have a Holocaust-denying bishop making an apology. And I quote here, a Roman Catholic bishop who caused an uproar by denying the scale of the Holocaust has apologized for his views and statements carried on a Catholic news agency website on Thursday. Bishop Richard Williamson of Britain caused outrage by saying there were no gas chambers in the Nazi concentration camp and that no more than 300,000 Jews died, rather than the widely accepted figure of 6 million.
Yeah, well, a couple observations here. First of all, it's not widely accepted, it's widely promoted. Second of all, if you read his actual apology, which wasn't accepted by the church, I don't believe, he basically is saying, I apologize to anyone who took honest scandal, as opposed, he means that implicitly, as opposed to those who are just pretending to be offended because they know I'm telling the truth. He is very well aware of the fact that the Jews are the cultural degradation that he hates, and all, you know, honest clerics are going to hate. He's quite well aware of it. I think that he's basically apologizing for raising this issue at this point, because what's going on here is the Pope he's kind of reinstituting this SSPX, or these traditionalists who didn't like what the Vatican did during the Vatican II in 1964. And what that was kind of the acknowledgement and official documents that the church had acceded to the Jews and had removed the blame from them for killing Christ, even though at the time that they killed him, they said his blood be on us and on our children. So the Jews were angling over the course of the 20th century to get the church to reverse its position on that and to absolve the Jews of the blame, right? So they succeeded in Vatican II, and some of these Catholics were annoyed enough that they became formally schismatic, although they wouldn't put it that way. But anytime you don't follow the Pope's lead, you're in schism, and that's the whole issue there. And so what this Pope was doing was bringing these guys of SSPX back into the fold. And then this guy, Williamson, goes on the TV, interviewed, I think he was interviewed by Swedes somewhere in Bavaria, and he basically speaks some of the truth about the Holocaust. So I think he's apologizing more or less for saying this kind of stuff at this particular point in time. But that may, the Germans, I know the prosecutors were talking about going after him. So there's never a good time to tell the truth about the Jews and their Holocaust lie. But anyway, this guy seems pretty solid. He's one of the few who hasn't really backed off. Even his apology isn't really much of an apology. And I think that's why at least somebody in the Vatican didn't accept it. So we're keeping an eye on this, and we'll see how it evolves.
He also gave a sermon recently in which he said, said that the encroaching police state is coming. And he made the point that it's not as overt, but it's very well well-oiled and well-working. That is, and by very subtle means. In fact, all of them that we've been talking about tonight, a lot of that.
Yeah, Craig, I'm irritated because I can't find his blog, which I had up. But look at the photos. Always look at the way they use photos of these people. And they're giving you like a two-thirds or a three-quarters angle on him. That always makes people look weak and suspicious because they're naturally shifting their eyes to look back at the camera, and it makes them look like they're shifty. Uh-huh. And that's the intent of the Jews taking and circulating these pictures.
Yeah. They did some games with you like that in Knoxville, as I recall, didn't they?
They searched it. I mean, the initial photo helped out our cause, but they made up for it by when I was in the court. They made it look like I was being harassed and lectured by the guy, and it was very deliberately set up beforehand. I didn't realize it at the time, but the guy held on to the note while I was asking him what this meant. This was like, you got to come back at this point, and you have to go to this other courtroom, is what he was telling me. He was holding on to the note while I was trying to take it from him, and he held on to it long enough where, with his one hand, so that we both had our hands on it, and then he was using his other hand, he was making demonstrative finger gestures, and he was giving me directions, but he knew that they would take a picture, and in the paper it would appear that I was being browbeaten and lectured by the court for being a bad, evil hater. And this is how cynical and dishonest and manipulative all this stuff is. Everything in the media is calculated to produce a certain impression. You have to understand that going in. And these guys are all complete scum. Everybody in the mainstream media is just a scum monger. And they completely deserve to be lined up against the wall and machine gun.
You know, one of the best things that BNN Forum ever did that I was able to participate in was opening up Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom's story to the whole country and how he sort of browbeat him and forced him to do it. Remember how it went through right up to Michelle Malkin, and then she got a lot of credit for it. But really, the whole process, you could probably remember it better than I, but it was really, really something, you know? It's having an effect on white people.
Anyone, if you have will and you want to do stuff, this game is utterly open to anybody. You can force them to an extent to take your points into consideration, if only to denounce them. And so what we achieved was a segment on CNN and the last subtitle in a major paper story, the Chicago Tribune, that actually conceded the crime stats. Said, some people could look at there being, 40,000 to zero rape differential as being something in, blah, blah, blah. And this is the thing. If you whites don't want to be slaughtered, you're going to have to stand up for yourself, force them to address your agenda, because they're not going to do it on their own. They have their agenda. It's in every single paper land. Nobody dares go athwart it without legal and financial repercussions and familial repercussions. And anybody who's tried to lead on this stuff knows exactly what I'm talking about. It can very easily destroy your life, your health, your money, even with only indirect pressure. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. And yet, if you don't stand up and fight, they're going to end up running things. And as we see from America Today, they're running them right into the ground. I mean, you've got these monkeys and these Jews pretending to be human. What do? They're destroying it. I mean, honest to God, you think out of simple interest and like, what the hell's going on here? People would look around for a different point of view, and maybe they are. But boy, you don't get any reflection of it in the controlled media. That's for darn sure. Just deficit spending and anti-winism as far as the eye can see. Loxism, I coined it years ago.
Yeah, well, on a positive note, we have a story here. Rocky Mountain News to Close published final edition Friday. So the Rocky Mountain News publishes its last paper tomorrow.
Yeah, and this is a neocon rag going out of business in Denver, but have already been picked up by the one paper left in the town, the Denver Post, which the Rocky Mountain News already had printing arrangements. See, and all this stuff, and all this stuff, and all this stuff, stuff. CC, which now has a new Jew appointment. He has to sign off on all that. If you can't own more than one newspaper or one TV station in town, you can't cross-own in the media. But even in stuff like whether the two newspapers in a town are going to share printing arrangements, I think the FCC has some role in that, because I was reading a lot of this Rocky Mountain News stuff. Anyway, this was kind of Denver had the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News. The Rocky Mountain News is a tabloid. It had a lot of neocon bilge writers in it, whereas the Denver Post is more or less openly communist. That is, and in America in 2009, it's always on the side of the illegal aliens and, expanding garbage mass transit and not printing the facts about the marauding gangs of niggers who have also attacked white people in Denver and in certain portions of the city. So some of the worst columnists from the Rocky Mountain News are already going to be employed by the Denver Post. And it's just great to see nationwide. This is just one paper, but it's happening everywhere. The New York Times has lost a huge amount of money in the last year. It's just absolutely wonderful. These are the worst people in the world. They utterly deserve to be executed. I'm not kidding or exaggerating in the slightest. I would gladly, happily, merrily machine gun everyone who works for the mass media. They deserve it. Totally deserve it. And I'm not a violent person. I don't I only talk about stuff where I believe it's objectively indicated, but they absolutely deserve to be slaughtered. So great and so irresponsible has been their lying over the last 30, 40 years, my entire life. They will not present one thing accurately, and if you've done dozens of interviews, they will always mischaracterize what you say. They are only interested in using one little tiny quote from you to further their own agenda. They're absolutely nasty little communist thugs. A reporter, an analyst, a writer, no, they're commie thugs. They're little punks. They're little parrots repeating an agenda. They're very much like, you know, Orwell said about the young women who are the most obnoxious, ideological little hellcats of all, and that I have found to be absolutely true. The men in journalism are like, the liberal men are at least cynical enough. They know they're fucking you. They know that they're lying commie scumbags. The women, they're just fucking little ideological little parrots.
You know,
called stamped out by a machine. They're just evil little bastards. I'm not kidding. I would gratefully, if I was the head of a white revolutionary committee, I would line these motherfuckers up against the wall and a Waltley machine gun all of them, and I'd record it on tape and I'd pass out that DVD to the public of charge. They utterly deserve it. All of them. This absolute scumbag. Dishonest little losers who deserve to be machine gunned.
Alex, I found a video of them at the New York Times had a booth. It wasn't a booth. It was a very fancy tent structure. It looked like it was black with very fine gold or white print and, you know, and a nice script. And it was at the Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco. And the anarchists had gone there to protest that children were allowed in. So in snippets of this video, you know, it shows a faggot's riding in on a bicycle with their, you know, balls bifurcated by the bicycle seat, I guess.
I know all about the Folsom Street Fair.
Yeah, you do. Well, anyway, this was just last fall when they knew that they were bleeding, and then that Mexican billionaire, who's the richest guy in the world now with his cell phone thing, his business, he injected a lot of money to him, but it's absolutely bizarre that they would even, I mean, if you're a company going broke and watching your money, what do you do? Well, for sure, we got to have a presence this year out at the Folsom Street, you know, fag bash.
Mm-hmm.
That's bizarre. But
well, this is the thing. What we've said many times here at Goyfire, people need to understand, is the media are not driven by profits. Their number one drive is the political agenda they serve, and that is doing whatever is good for Jews. And since Jews believe it's best for Jews not to live in a white majority country, not to live in a Christian country, anything that helps sustain Euro-Christian America, they seek to destroy. That's the underlying agenda of all these media, and it's far more important than profits. The Jews have set up these left-wing school of media criticism says no. The media being concentrated and driven by the need for profits, but that can easily be proved false. We've done it many times. Remember, the media would not help Mel Gibson, even though his movie made literally $1 billion. The Jews did everything they could to thwart it, not produce it. So profits runs a distant, far, and small place to the political agenda by the mass media, because a tiny, hated, hostile, alien, elite minority needs to control the media in order to twist politics in its favor, because people will never vote for if they lay it out honestly. Ordinary white people will never vote for communism. They'll never vote to open the border. They'll never vote for affirmative action. And so the Jews know this. They have to control the media to lie, media to lie, media to lie, media to us through the politicians they purchase. It's absolutely wonderful to see in a rough economic time to see all of their newspapers going out of business. But let's not kid ourselves. They're not going out of business because they're spewing lefty communist agitprop. That's only a minor contributing factor. The main reason is that the advertising models that sustain newspapers in the past don't. Newspapers don't really bring people news, so they're not so anxious to pay for them, especially in rough times. So the newspapers can't get enough of their bills. And remember, when you buy a newspaper, or when you buy any kind of political magazine, what you're buying is very heavily subsidized. Your costs are only paying enough to basically print the newspaper or paper. The rest of the cost, the salary and the building and the reporting and all the rest of that stuff, that has to be paid for by the advertiser. So the subscribers are only paying probably 20-25% of the true cost of getting that newspaper out there. So there aren't so many. All the retailers and whatever and the rest of these people are going bust, so they don't have the money to buy the ads. And even if they do have, their advertising budget is better spent in other places, because more people, especially more white males with money, are going online to get stuff. So
this past week, they say teens now are 7.5 hours per day on the internet. We talked about that for 4 years of Goyfire, too, how the media was going down. I didn't think it would go down this quick and this completely. I mean, it's just really sweepingly going down, not only the media, but the banks, country, everything. Yeah.
It makes sense, because news isn't news. I mean, if you want news, you go to Google or whatever your favorite portal is, and you just click on news and you read the top stories. You don't have to wait 24 hours to get some dead tree print in your yard and pay for it. So, and there, for that reason, and also the loss of classified ad revenue is now going to other places, the Jew-owned Craigslist. So in a lot of ways, it's just a transfer of money from these Jews to these other Jews. But still in all, it's good to see the these evil Jewish papers being driven out of existence. Remember, like 100 years ago, a lot of the major cities like San Francisco or New York would have 5 or 6 dailies.
And the Chronicle's going down now, too, the San Francisco Chronicle, right?
I mean, virtually across the board, papers are having problems, but I think, Aegis, did you say today that the San Francisco Chronicle is shutting down? I know it was speculated last week.
Yeah, Hearst plans to slash, sell, or shut paper in Bay Area.
Yeah, and so the thing is here, already we look at the big picture. There are now, what, about probably 1,500 newspapers, majors, 1,500 daily papers. There used to be a lot more than that at the turn of the century. Population in America, but we didn't have the internet and the rest of this stuff, so everybody would take a paper. A lot of them were in different languages, but there's a lot of reading going on. Today, that's all shifted to the internet, and the dailies are being concentrated in, you know, a number of companies that can get at printing. They can, like, say the paper serving, you know, I don't know, rural areas in America or whatever, but what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that there are a number of chains, that's the word I'm looking for, there are a number of newspaper chains that might own a bunch of dailies, and they get breaks because they can mass buy their ink and their printing services, and there's a handful of major papers, but they're all experiencing the same pressure for the same reasons, and it's just great to see so many of them driven out of business, literally. And whereas major cities 100 years ago might have had 4 or 5 daily papers, today at most they have 1 paper. Some of them don't even have any papers. That's how bad it's gotten, and it's a great thing to see.
Right, and it is putting the information into the blogosphere where theoretically people like us can get just as many hits as they can.
Just what I was going to say, just citizen journalism time.
It's theoretical. I mean, the fact is, you can make the rounds of whatever your favorite sites are and get news from there, and that's what people are doing, but the ones dominating are still controlled by the same basic sources. They're still, even online, there may be a few new players, but Google is owned by Jews, Yahoo I'm not sure about, but MSNBC, Fox, all of these are the major players online.
Well, they're trying to cover the choke points as they did before, but still, I think it's a lot easier for people to get information out there as it was before, where, I mean, as you were saying, the pulp paper industries were so enormously capital intensive that it was quite prohibitive for...
Well, yeah, it doesn't make much economic sense to have a paper. I mean, in fact, the ASNE or whatever it is, American Society of Newspaper Editors, they canceled their annual trade show this year, which is a sign of how absolutely horrible things have gotten. And, you know, it's wonderful. Every year they'd hold their little trade convention and all the editors would go there. How do we grow our reading list? Well, it's always by doing more stuff to serve diversity in the youth markets, you know, exactly the people who don't read. It's very much like the Republicans. So how do we expand our voter base? Well, we need to make a hip-hop presence. Go after the hip-hop crowd is what the new nigger head of the Republican National Committee says. I mean, this is absolutely insane. You know, the people who vote Republican are white males, but of course, since the Republicans are controlled by Jews, they're becoming just Me Too, Brown First, anti-white socialists, because the Jews won't allow them to do what would otherwise be obvious and natural, which is appeal to the white majority and represent their interests. Whites don't have anyone representing their interests, whether in media or whether in politics proper.
Alex,
that's the key facts about this show. This is why this show exists, to point this out. I mean, there's 200 million white people in America. Why isn't there a party that will overtly, publicly defend their interests?
Alex, I have relatives in Missouri who are so sick, and I'm about to write some of them a letter and say, you know, how do you feel about voting for Obama now? Because all these new taxes, right? And
yeah.
I know my mother would say, she'd say, she's really isn't this. She says, it doesn't matter. You know, in other words, not only are they willing to lose money over it, I mean, a huge, you know, basically tens of thousands of dollars. Many white Americans who voted for him will lose tens of thousands just on his taxes, hundreds of thousands, millions. But if you bring it up to him, you're the bad person for reminding him about it. This is, I mean, these people are really, really twisted around in their brains. So many ways to lose. Yeah.
They, you know, Obama's come in and it's the standard class warfare. They're always going to say the rich aren't paying their share, and God knows it's the case to make when you see all these Jewish billionaires being bailed out with federal money. So the low-level people who can't see the big picture, yeah, soak the rich. What they don't grasp is that, look, there's only a minority of people who are intelligent and have the drive and initiative to set up and start businesses that employ everybody else. So the Democrats come along and they appeal to the common street scum and say, look, this guy's buying a yacht. They don't tell you, yeah, bucker, yachts need to be taken care of. Who do you think does that? A rich guy doesn't do it. They pay people to do that. And that's basically how all human relations are hierarchical, and they're you know, there's alpha males and there's beta males and there's theta males and there's delta males, and everybody just find your position. It's like any other kind of species. There's a slot for you, and just do your thing and be happy about it. But no, they gotta go. The worst shall be first, and the old Marxist idea. So they're gonna soak the rich, and of course they're gonna come out in public, and all the Jews are gonna back them. Oh, we're only gonna tax you know those making over $250,000. I guarantee you can bet your life, and half that shit's gonna be hidden. You know, in just the way that, like, if you buy gas, you know, 40 cents a gallon of that goes to the feds. There's all kinds of hidden taxes. They will increase all of those. They will, and $250,000 isn't even that much. On that much, people who own the small businesses that employ most of America are going to have more than $250,000 in income. It doesn't necessarily mean they're rich or that rich. And, you know, they're going to soak the productive people in order to aid the ferals and the scum. And that's just what socialists do. Tax, spend, elect, elect. And lie, I would add to it.
Right.
And you have a functioning tyranny when you have the media entirely in lockstep with the government. And the government, everything is the government's response. See, this is what the Jews want. The Jews want everything to be run out of Washington so they can have complete control and they can nip any kind of anti-Semitism in the bud. They don't like white people with millions of dollars living on landed estates. Those form a competing power center with the Jews. So they always work to undermine every other class in society in order to strengthen and entrench their own position. They need to understand we have to de-yoke ourselves from the Jews.
And the rest of them, too.
Yeah, and we focus here on Goyfire on the Jews because the other ones are a headless community. Yeah. Obama only exists and has power because the Jews use him. It's on his own. He's not going to be able to raise the money or find the people to help him. But as part of a functioning Jewish network, they can play it up like it's him, but it's not real estate billionaires behind him supplying him the money. It's the Axelrods supplying him the strategy. It's the Rahm Emanuels giving him the actual whispering in the ear and the leadership telling him what to do. And it's the Jews at the Washington Post running interference for him, the Jews at the New York Times providing cover for him because he's carrying out their agenda. So it's not Obama driving the train any more than it was George Bush, you know, going to war in Iran. That's the fucking neocons telling them what to do. And the same neocons who backed Bush are now sucking up to Obama because they want more and more and more of this, more and more of this, more and more of this. So like the direction the country is going, you need to listen to what we're saying, because what we're saying is what can't be said in the controlled media because it's true, because they don't want you to know in whose interests all this stuff is operated. And they have to keep the 95% of the people fooled that, oh yeah, it really matters whether someone's black or white or Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative. That really, really matters. And you see in all the little forums, all the people going at each other, the Bush lovers go after the Obama lovers, and the Obama lovers hate on the Bush people. They're utterly being manipulated. There's not a dime's worth of difference between Keith Olbermann and Bill O'Reilly any more than there is between Barack Obama, between bringing a foreign hostile power. Foreign hostile if you're an ordinary average white like those we should have listening to this show. We're telling you your true interests, who is or isn't defending them. So
yeah, well, getting back to these media developments of the old papers going out and the new coming in, we have your podcast, Adam Carolla podcast, which has become quite popular. Alex, you've been following this development.
This is interesting. I just want to talk a little about this. Adam Carolla, he's one of a couple of mainstream guys that I listen to, and I just like the sound of his voice, and I really, we've been doing it long before Carolla ever thought of it, or a lot of these people. We had our show originally up on stuff until we got kicked off, but podcast is really good stuff because mainstream radio is, the format requires you be constantly interrupted by commercials, so you can never really focus on anything. It's very much, if you think about it, it's kind of parallel to a school day where you get 50 minutes and then you constant bells ringing, get up, do this, taking attendance, so there's never any time to actually focus on the content. With podcasts, you can subscribe to it automatically, have it delivered to you, listen to long stretches that are absolutely commercial free. Now, what happened was, you may remember I did the radio interview with Conway and Whitman. Well, the station those clowns were on was the same one that employed Adam Carolla and a bunch of Tom Likas and some others in Southern California. What happened was the suits at CBS in New York decided they could have a better chance of making more money by dumping the talk FM radio, and going with a top 40. And so they basically fired all of these talk show hosts. And the only one I ever listened to was Adam Carolla because he has some right-wing stuff that he does. He'll say he's anti-racist, whatever. But in fact, he'll make a number of our points in a veiled way while only within the context of claiming he's not anti-Semitic. But
yeah, he sounds like an Adam Curry type of, you know, goy.
Yeah, he's roughly equivalent. Adam Curry did The Man Show on Comedy Central. He did it with Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel went on to host a he's still hosting a night show on ABC, show on ABC, show on ABC, Letterman type thing. But there's a whole network of these guys who are all friends, and they do their various thing for ESPN and ABC and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, last week Carolla's show on this radio station in L.A. ended, and it was just interesting. In one of his last, they had it archived at the station. I was 95.1 out there. You can actually find it if you Google Adam Carolla. You can listen to his last couple of shows. But he was just talking about how L.A. Let me put it in the proper context before discussing the contents of the last show. The point here is CBS basically fired all these white talk show hosts. The only thing that makes money in L.A., as Carolla was saying, is basically ranchero music, which is that awful Mexican accordion music, and top 40, Timberlake and Britney Spears. And so what Carolla is saying is basically there's no market for anything that's semi-intelligent. So he went to doing podcasts last week, his first week after being fired, and he had over 1 million downloads. So basically he shot to number one in the podcast download thing, because he does a very good ranting like we do here at Goy Fire, and he does commentary mixed in with a lot of sexual shit that's Jew safe, of course. But it was just funny. In his last show, he was just talking about how two types of people in L.A. There's Mexicans and there's dumb people. And of course he's like, yeah, there could be some overlap, but basically point in one of them. And like I'm saying, you can find these and download them, or you can go to his com and listen to his CarollaRadio.com. Also some of his rants. He does a pretty good job. He's a pretty funny guy. That's why I listen to him. There's actually not very much good humor out there anymore. P.G. O'Rourke is now like about 90 and just 90 and just being funny about 20 years ago. Well, 10 years ago. 10 years ago. 10 years kids and just carried water for the neocons. But Carolla actually is pretty funny. I like listening to him. And on his mainstream show, he actually had this kike. It's funny because he touched stuff in a number of ways where if you know what we're talking about, you can very much see stuff that he probably doesn't even see himself. But like he had a boss at the L.A. show named Jack Silver, who's obviously a Jew, who obviously more or less forced him to hire on this Jew broad, Teresa Strasser, who is basically disliked. If you go to his site and read the comments under his podcast, 50% of his listeners don't even like this kike who is working with him, along with enough. You just see that Jews are, again, they're hiring their own, and talent has nothing to do with it in the mass media. They have to carry out the agenda. She's a typical Jew broad, super neurotic, super hostile to others. And there's one funny segment on there I heard where, like, they had some kind of bitch bag session where all the people at their radio station could put something in, put a criticism of one of the members at the station into a bag each week, and then the one who got the most, they would read all the complaints on air. And this Jew broad was the winner 1 week, and they were all criticizing her, and she literally couldn't take it. It was such a perfect example of how all Jews are like that. They absolutely cannot stand any criticism of themselves. She was literally crying on air because they can't face the truth about themselves, and you just see how this people was able to put across something like the Holocaust.
Oh my God, it was anti-Semitic.
That's where the crying comes in, huh, when you criticize them.
Yeah, exactly. If you actually force them to confront a bunch of evil liars, they break down.
That sounds so wrong.
They have to control the media and put out these lies.
And that's when Whitey's empathy kicks in, huh, when he sees the tears.
Pity the poor Jew. Just don't beat him up anymore.
He's basically like an average type, Italian white guy. And he has the normal biases that most of us normal white guys have. And she's this kike, so she's always throwing these little politically correct little snippets. And it's just funny. And you can see that, obviously forced him to hire the Jew Silver, forced him to hire Jew Strasser. She's your typical lefty San Francisco Jew chick. And believe me, I worked with a lot of those at college. They're my editor on my paper when I was in school. And I know what they're like. They're humorless, not very bright, and they're totally feminist and politically correct. And so here, the people who think that media is driven by profits, well, if the media were driven by profits, they wouldn't have these Jews on who no one agrees with. They're not there because they're talented or smart. They're just there because they push through the agenda. So every time Carolla says something that's mildly racist, just knock him down. The chick has no comedic timing at all. She's always stomping on him if he's going on a good rant. It's just funny to see. If you know what we know from us teaching you here at Goy Fire, you can listen to that, and you can very easily read between the lines. But it's just funny that, like, in his last couple of shows, he became a little more vociferous. He repeated on a little louder note, like, the same stuff he'd said in a more veiled way before about, look, how he's like, ah, I'll have diversity. That's the problem. L.A. is becoming too Mexican. He's like, I wouldn't care if it was Polish people. If it were 50% Polish and that's all you could find, that's not good. I want diversity. university. I want different types of people, and L.A. is just becoming saturated with Mexicans. So he's making basically a racist point, but carefully couching it in a non-racist way. And interesting, he leaves that and goes to podcasting. He had over a million downloads of his show, and it shows you there really is a market out there for something that's a little straighter. If you can combine any kind of humor with something that's basically straight analysis, there's plenty of a market for it. So
it's kind of
I watch that
with Gran Torino, in which he just goes on racist rants, all in the name of delving into his sensitive self.
I haven't seen that show. I'm assuming, but ultimately, does in all of his other movies, and he accepts that the gooks have a right to be here, and you know, they're still portraying him, the real American, as someone who's the weirdo or the weirder.
Well, another Obama pick was Julius Genachowski to head the FCC, and apparently he's going to be cracking down on the internet as soon as he can to stop people from being entertained by podcasts such as those that we just talked about. And here's a quote we have here. According to Bloomberg.com, the FCC may turn to decreasing Americans' access to high-speed internet service once the pressure from the digital television transition eases. Obama has made broadband a cornerstone of his plan to boost U.S. competitiveness. It is unacceptable that the nation ranks 15th worldwide in high-speed internet adoption rates, he said in a December 6th speech. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a California Democrat, has said broadband funds will be part of the economic stimulus package Congress intends to take up this month. Chain, I know you've been following this guy.
Yeah, let me just say right off a little aside that here in Estonia, they mandated, I think it was 2 years ago in October, that every farm village in the country, every farmhouse, everywhere in the country had to have broadband access by 2 years ago in October. And this is a podunk little, country. It's practically a city-state with 1,100,000 people in residence. So if that wealthy country, the United States, still couldn't do it. But about Genachowski, this fairness and doctrine on the internet, Waxman wants him to do it. Waxman is a Jew. He's on the Commerce Committee. He's the chair of Energy and Commerce. And Waxman, you may remember, there was the 21-year-old arms dealer Jew, another Goyfire story we did, who was had a $300 million contract for selling Chinese ammunition through Albania, is where he acquired it, Chinese manufactured, obsolete manufactured 30 years ago, I think it was, to our guys in Afghan. Well, that guy went up before Waxman, and nothing has ever heard about him again. I suppose he got a 3 weeks community service. But Genachowski, by the way, he is a Jew. He went to school with Obama, both at Columbia and Harvard. At Harvard, he was the notes editor when Obama was the leader of the law review, and Obama had no article in that law review, by the way, in all his years there, no major article. And Genachowski is married to Rachel Goslins, who made a movie about Alabama's homecoming queen, some negress applies, and all her travails and
Bama girl.
Now, she made it in 2008. And by the way, her husband was the head for the 2008 presidential campaign of the. He was the chairman of the Technology, Media, and Telecommunication Policy Working Group that created the Obama Technology and Innovation Plan. So he also advised and guided, I'm reading from Wikipedia, the Obama campaign's innovative use of technology and the internet for grassroots engagement and participation. I'll tell you what they were doing. They were pushing SMS messages through the website. You can still go to Obama's forum, and you'll see that a lot of them want to literally pull InfoWars and PrisonPlanet.com off the, just literally shut them down. And they don't get kicked off the forum or anything for saying this. This is the official forum of Obama. And Obama had all these, the Jews, in fact, we got the videos, we have the videos up at Pod Blanc about this case. There's a whole consortium of blues, or what was it called, blue something technology. And these guys came out of the Howard Dean campaign. And Howard Dean's wife is a Jewish physician. But anyway, they got some experience in the internet with that. Basically, they're radical leftists, and they're Genachowski's kind of like underlings. So this Bama Girl movie that his wife made, Genachowski's wife, again, it's kind of funny how it has the title Bama Girl, and then there was the Bama Girl video, you know, both coming out kind of the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're, again, they're dealing with the South and Whitey's ideas about race and how unfair we are. Husband
and wife Kaika's team, and now he's going to be in charge of censoring the internet. Waxman is right in there with Jane Harman, the Jewish lawyer from California, who's a member of the House of Representatives, who started H.R. 1955, which has now passed and is S-1959 in the Senate, and that's the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Act. They're going to stop whites. Any kind of adjectives you use, they can say that's a crime, just like they're doing to Bill White. I hope Alex will talk about that, because Bill, all he did, well, not all he's having been accused to do, but basically he wrote this nigger mayor a letter and said he looks forward to the day when people will be tarred and feathered again. Well, you can say that under the First Amendment, but all they have to do now is haul a white person up in front of a nigger jury like they did Matt Hale, and that's all she wrote.
The Bill White shows is basically they are going to use any personal contact you might make to anybody on their side and construe that as a threat.
Right.
And if they can string two or three of those together, they feel like they've got enough to make a federal case, even individually and collectively, what was done was certainly legal. Well, they know that, but, I mean, these are corrupt. They're killers and liars. That's what they do. That's their business, and business is good. So everybody
Now they put the average white guy up. You made this point a few minutes ago. You said you can either stand up to it now or later, because they're not going to let you get away, but they feel that they're in the quandary. If I stand up now, they're going to ruin me, you know?
The thing is, the penalty is pretty close to crossing the penalty for simply exterminating the enemy. So about that. I mean, White's thrown in jail. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe he'll plea bargain or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen on that, but you know, he's in jail for using his free speech, just as Horst Mahler in Germany is in jail for using his free speech. These people are serving more time than convicted nigger murderers serve. So you might as well almost kill someone as criticize them. Or that's certainly the direction in which the Jews are pushing things. They don't make any distinction between murder and criticism. So the only distinction that is still sustained by law is basically, yeah, if you talk in general terms, they can't do anything to you. But the minute you start mentioning specific people, then they're going to construe that as a threat.
You know, I'm sure on the program, they've got me on, they can put me up on municipal charges. For example, they could say, oh, Baltimore was offended by what you said, and under the Baltimore statute, and then, you know, a state could back it up too, say, that's right, in the state of Maryland. And as you say, they just string three of those, oh, you're wanted in three states, it must be bad. And then they just bundle, just like they're bundling fucking mortgages and pushing it off on the white European banks. It's really kind of analogous when you think about it.
Well, I think that the people have been so brainwashed that they accept what the government says, and it's not a matter of intelligence. Even very smart white people with PhDs are still basically sheep. And if the prosecutor says, this is a bad man, we have to stop this evil Nazi racist hater extremist, we have to stop him, and that's where you come in, you know, and these little puffkins, their role, they're doing their part in stopping hate. There's just a limitless capacity for being brainwashed exhibited by most Americans.
Right, and they're always billing us as the small problem that can just easily be solved. Just, you know, take this hater out and everything will be, a utopia again. Then multiculturalism will work.
Well, we have American version of communism. It's the same stuff they were doing in the Soviet Union. It's just by slightly different measures. And the Jews have learned from their experience in operating the USSR for all those decades. They're doing the same thing and the same agenda, but they're implementing it differently here in a more American way, a way that you have to use the established forms to carry out their agenda. But they're very good at doing that. They know how to feather things in carefully. They understand that you don't want abrupt breaks with a pass. What you want to do is slowly, subtly, degree by degree, change people's attitudes and opinions through the use of TV, use of preaching from the presidential just pulpit. And that's how they do. They're very good at what they do. They've established a very nice system of control to where it's not like totally evident, like a trap in the grass or something, or the little threads that are invisibly, you know, they're one by one, they're tying down the Gulliver, the Goyish giant, while he's sleeping. So he wakes up and finds that he's trapped by these Lilliputians, the Jews.
Very good analogy, yeah. No, but you're right, they're cooking the frog. That's another analogy that's pretty well.
That's another one, yeah. Degree by degree, they're turning up the water in the pan that the frog is sitting in so he doesn't recognize and gets cooked. But yeah, that's our goal here, is to teach you what is actually going on so that you can protect yourself in your own community. And we're not hiding the fact that ultimately the only thing that can work for us is complete utter separation from these Jews, whether we simply slay them all, which is what I advise, or we, you know, short of that, we at least get rid of them, physically separate from them. We have to have a white country led by white people who think the way we here are talking at Goyfire.
Well, that starts with identifying them and attaching less than generous motives to their actions.
And it's not hard to do. Once you understand what drives Jews, it's very easy to put the name. That it's just that all the official media, including most, in many ways, this is the most powerful tool they have, is that they control not just the communist left and those liberals you love to hate. They control the paleoconservative right, as well as the neocon right, as well as the left. So this is what it's not easy for people to see. But here's an example. I mean, what we were seeing was a reader of VNN and a commenter at a number of places like Majority Rights and stuff. Captain Chaos was the dominant figure responding to the people at, say, Taki Mag. Taki is Greek. He was born the son of a billionaire. He's got all kinds of money. He uses the money to fund the American conservative, and then he pulled out of that and left them to their own devices and funded his own. Now he funds Taki Mag. TakiMag.com is a paleoconservative site. They pay a number of different people, including religious conservative John Zmirak and Richard Spencer, a couple of Yaleys, as they call themselves. And they're smart, but they're very careful people, and they don't indulge in any criticism of the Jew. And what Taki ended up doing was, over Christmas, he shut down all the comments. I used to go over there and have fun just tweaking them and leaving comments to different names, and then they would always IP ban me, and I'd get back in there and leave more comments. By doing it most successfully, or at least he got a lot of his through, is a guy called Captain Chaos. You can find commenting at VNN and other places, Majority Rights. But Taki put out the word to the Richard Spencer, who runs Taki Mag, that they're not to allow any more comments. So the reason I'm going into all this is to explain to you, paleoconservatives are just as controlled by Jews as anything else. They can't allow free comment because it will show what they're not telling you. They are posing as opposition to the ruling system, but they're not. They're part of it. And that's a crucial understanding, because most white is at face value, and they believe that there's a real dime's worth of difference between Fox News and MSNBC. No, they're exactly the same thing. They're on a little bit facially and on the surface superficially, but in reality, they're exactly the same thing. Keith Olbermann and Bill O'Reilly are both anti-racist. Anybody who's anti-racist is your enemy. Racism is a propaganda term invented by Leon Trotsky, a Jewish communist, in order to smear anyone who observes differences between races and who observes that whites exist and have their own interests. The communists don't want you talking or thinking like that. That's why they coined the term racist, in order to smear and stigmatize and isolate and destroy anybody who stuck to the old ways, where whites are racially different and superior to the other races, particularly the black race. And so Jews coined and popularized that. And again, they could have coined it all day long, but they had the control of the media to where they were able to popularize the smear racism, so that today everybody who wants to be part of the official system of things, or at least be respectable as a fake opponent of the way things are, that is the Rush Limbaughs and the Bill O'Reillys, has to agree not to be racist. So they all play along as though this communist term of opprobrium, this communist coin smear, actually means something. It is more just an agitprop smear word. And right. So anybody who accepts that way of things will never truly be opposed to them, and will in fact sustain and support it, whether he agrees with that or not.
Yeah, they give the appearance of a dichotomy, yet have that system of core values that is non-disputable. But that is in fact the core party.
And I think many of them don't even realize that. They're honest people, and as far as they know, you can take things at face value here from authority and see on TV as utterly valid. And we're here, no interest in this program should walk down, and the true forces doing battle here are the awakened whites, as we are, and the Jews. The Republicans, the conservatives, the Rush Limbaugh, all those, no, those are on the side of the Jews, whether they realize it or not. And believe me, plenty of them realize that they are simply for the rudder America, the Jews.
Right, core values are the totalitarianism of the system.
In 20 or 25 years, when whites' numbers are even further reduced, and it will become more obvious, and also the cultural clashes in the remaining white countries will become more obvious, which haven't been as severely invaded as some of the ruined countries, US, UK, Netherlands, and France, come to mind. Well, by then, it will be more fashionable, because we'll have worked at this for 20 or 25 years, or the people who are doing it after we're gone.
Okay,
so in these future decades coming upon us now, if we do not refute one way or the other the idea that it's a multicult brown world, then we're going to be swamped and we're going to pass into non-existence. That's literally true. As uncomfortable as anyone listening might think it is, or will have to be to gainsay all of these
multicultural ideas or this James Michener golden world, if you don't do it, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse to the point where multimillionaires will come in and snatch up the last few beautiful Aryan beauties as if they're some kind of exotic animal. And it's really
Craig, with the election of Obama, we've transcended race. We've moved beyond it. We're now in a post-racial world. Didn't you know that?
Well, you know, come over here this spring or summer and visit, Alex, and look at these women and tell me that, because you really feel like you have a lot more to defend. I bet you really get fired up about it. Well, they're so incredibly beautiful compared to the average quan. I mean, it's like California in 1965.
Mm-hmm. Jane, I think you're talking about eugenics. Oh, my God, Alex Jones is going to have a whole show about this.
I'm sick of seeing Hottentots all over YouTube and television. Everywhere you go, leaping bonobos. They're fucking pump gas in the United States, and you see leaping bonobos from MTV. Stand in the grocery checkout. There they are on the screens.
Are you talking about the ones with the Kevlar wig hats?
Yeah, I'm talking about all of them, man. And so many, so many. I mean, it's like a science fiction movie, Invasion from Outer Space or something.
Yeah, well, you know, one genocide leads to another, and here we have 13,000-year-old tools unearthed at Colorado home. Landscapers were digging a hole for a fish pond in the front yard of a Boulder home last May when they heard a chink that didn't sound right. Just some lost tools, some 3,000-year-old lost tools.
No, 13,000-year-old.
Oh, sorry, 13,000. Year-old lost tools. My jaw just dropped, said CU anthropologist Douglas Bamforth. I guess he deals with the bones of anthropology, not Boasian anthropology. The cache is one of only a handful of Clovis-age artifacts uncovered in North America, said Bamforth. The tools reveal an unexpected level of sophistication, Bamforth said, describing the design as unnecessarily complicated, artistic and utilitarian at the same time.
Ergonomically designed, they said. They said when you clasped your hand around it, and they were hunting camels, they recently found out, right?
Yeah. What
camels in North America and mastodons.
Right. What researchers found on the tools was also significant. Biochemical analysis of blood and other protein residue reveal the tools were used to butcher camels, horses, sheep, and bears. That proves that the Clovis people ate more than just woolly mammoth meat for dinner, something scientists were unable to confirm before.
I wanted to say, too, at Pod Blanc, there are a series of videos called Aryan Genesis Ice Age. I think I might have gotten a couple, but yeah, I think that's it. Aryan Genesis Ice Age. Search it on the Scroogle. It's a Discovery Channel, I think, 12-part video. Incredibly beautiful about how our ancestors migrated across the ice 22,000 years ago, found a one-mile-high ice wall. They hunted seals across the way and ate raw seal meat, as the Eskimos still do. Some Inuit, they consider it a delicacy. It's just an incredible odyssey, and they did it from off the island of Karnak, the coast of France. Remember Johnny Carson's, wasn't it Karnak? You know, that's what that is, I guess, a takeoff on that, from that name. It's a city still in France, and there was an island off it that when the Ice Age melted, well, it wasn't an island then. It got, you know, most of it submerged, but there are still monoliths there, similar to Stonehenge. And then the entire Atlantic Ocean was frozen in the winter, but in the summer, it was enough they could use sealskin kayaks and go along it. And sometimes they would get frozen during the journey, and then they'd continue on ice. So various bands of them arrived in North America. And then there's another video over there about they found these same tools, salutrine, they believe, in the bottom of an Everglades swamp. Or no, pardon me, this was in land next to the swamp, but they found some, I think, underwater as well. But the largest cache cleared down in the Everglades. So these are like Ice Age guys going down there on some sort of a tropical hiatus even then, because it was tropical down there.
Oh, okay,
so
Craig,
it's quite amazing. Yeah.
Craig, give in relation to this question of who peopled the Americas, who populated it first, who are the real and first Americans?
What's the official story
and what's the real story?
That is the real story, that these are whites. These are our ancestors. These are our direct lineal ancestors, and they've determined it from taking the mitochondrial DNA of American Indians and South and Central American Indians. And
Craig, are you saying that in preserve the myth of the red man coming over here first, the red and yellow man being the real Americans or the Native Americans, they have to cover up?
Yeah, they showed up like 10,000 years later and murdered us. They genocided us out of existence. But that it's our memories are still in the mitochondrial DNA, and they can tell that it's not from like the 1600s or, you know, intercourses between the 1500s, 1600s between whites and Indians, because the breakage level of the mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial means from the mother. So they know all of these things, but it's just like Galileo. They can't tell the truth in the media, obviously the Jew media, but even in the academia because of this political correctness, just like it was during the day of Galileo or any other scientific, you name it, Copernicus or the various ones.
Yeah, and of course the Christians don't want to hear about it either because that would sort of refute the seven-day theory. But, I mean, Clovis was, there's a bunch of different connections here. Clovis was a Frankish king who united Frankish tribes, and Clovis New Mexico was named after him. And
where does the name Clovis come from? I'm trying to understand this. What does Clovis people mean? Where does that name come from?
There were artifacts of this culture that they are now tying to the Solutrians in France that were first found in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, Clovis, New Mexico was named Clovis after a Frankish king, so it's an easy way of remembering the connections to France and the Solutrians. And in fact, they are really one culture, the Clovis and the Solutrean peoples. The Clovis peoples are the Frankish, I guess you could call them, prehistoric Franks that wandered the Americas, and the Solutrians were their European counterparts.
Okay, what do you want white Americans to believe about the peopling of the Americas? What do they want our kids to believe?
We're all Indians. I mean, the Indians were there first. So anything 13,000 years, see, that's usually the demarcation point. Anything older than 13,000 years, really they don't want to talk about. But very much they say, oh, there's not much known about it. But 13,000 years ago were the ones found in Clovis originally. Now, the ones in this picture that we're talking about tonight, they look like Solutrean double-edged. And they sometimes found them in pits, ceremonial blades that were so thin they could not have been used for hunting, so they had religio significance, and they would bury them in pits with ochre over them, which is an iron oxide which has been baked to turn it to red. It's normally yellow, the iron oxide. They found those, I think, in Virginia and Kenosha, Wisconsin. So now this Boulder, Colorado find, that the fucking AP won't even say, well, there's a great excitement to determine whether they're Solutrean or not. Lying sons of bitches. They won't
they found those ochre pots. I know they found them up and down the East Coast, I believe, not just in the... I didn't know they'd found them in Florida, but I know they found them in, like, Maine and I think Newfoundland, whatever. Basically, the lie in the cover story the Jews want to put out is that whites came over here from Europe in 1492 and genocided the original Americans, the red men. But what the facts are increasingly showing is it's here 20,000 years ago. And the Jew story is that, no, America was founded after the last ice age began to recede. Yellow and red men came over from Asia and populated the Americas, and they were the original Americans. But what the facts are starting to show is that, no, there was an earlier wave of people who came over from Solutrio, what is now France and Spain, and they came across over the northern Atlantic ice bridge, catching, came down to the Americans before the Asians ever showed up after the last ice age. So the whites would have come over from Europe like 17,000 years ago as opposed to 9,000 years ago, say. So they're finding more and more physical evidence, and you just can't believe anything that you read in the Jew-controlled media because they have an interest in keeping their cover story going. So when skeletons that appear to be white or have European ancestry are found, like Kennewick Man in Washington State, what the Clinton administration did was go in there and declare the site off limits and dump hundreds of tons of rock and stone on there and try to give, under federal law, give the bones of these white men to the Indians so that they could keep the cover story going that they were, rather than us, were the first Americans. So yes. Whites listening to this, we were the original Americans. All the data is tending to show that now. And anyway,
I'll come back to Missouri, Alex, and you and Rounder and I can open our own casino.
The Indians genocided us, yeah. But keep their story going and make us feel guilty. They can't admit the new evidence. But wasn't that guy Dennis Stanford, who's one of the main proponents of this Iberia, not Siberia? That is, they came over. Iberia is Spain and Portugal, France. Iberia replaces the old Siberian. That is, they came from Asia theory. Wasn't that guy going to write a book that was going to be released this spring? Dennis Stanford, I believe, is the guy's name. And he's obviously very careful of political considerations, but still he's basically arguing that Europeans were here first. As you know, he's got a laundry list of physical evidence to back that theory up. And I think he was going to come out with a book this spring. I don't know if it's out yet, and I'm not sure the name of it, but I'm pretty sure that's about that on subsequent Goyfars.
But I'll tell you this about this Aryan genocide. this Ice Age series, I think Discovery Channel, 12 parts, they have it on Pod Blanc. At the end of that, you guys, they show like 10, 12,000 years after the 22,000 year period have passed, you know, in other words, 10,000 years later, that is when that would be. Anyway, the Indians show up, you know, they trudge across there. So there the Indians meet the whites. What, 12, 10,000 years later, after Whitey's been there. And then after they murder and fucking and kill us out of existence, they said California forest fires have played a part in it too. Then they don't want to tell the story. And even down in Peru, they found these tribes. The Incas talk about the red-haired people that were there, and they all know it's true. La Venta, Mexico, La Venta, Mexico, carved on huge monolithic stones, bearded Caucasians.
Yeah, blue eyes. And,
yeah, you know, they I know one of those tribes. One of those tribes had the myth of the Siteca people, who were, you know, like yellow bearded or red haired, blue eyed people who were ended up in a few caves, and they lost the struggle with these Indians who killed them off. But that was the name that the Indians had for them, was the Siteca people. And I know they found like their remains in the Spirit Cave. Spirits are an example of those people who were killed off in the Mountain West thousands and thousands of years ago.
Yeah. So the Jews are so much into diversity. Why didn't all their powerful media come? Why don't they have a fucking MTV special about all this? Wouldn't that be interesting? Murray Rothstein brings you Whitey was here first.
It shows you the fundamental dishonesty of Jewish people. They know that they are lying about Auschwitz, but they're not just lying about Auschwitz and the non-existent gas chambers, just as they lied about, you know, being made into soap and lampshades. They're lying about our own people as well as their own in order to maintain a cover story that leaves them in a position to dominate our future. He who controls the past controls the future. And what the Jews try to do is rewrite history to fit the story that is they can use to brainwash us into accepting their leadership. Although it's veiled. So they are eternally the victims, we are eternally the bad guys, and they should run things because we're a bunch of evil, hate-filled racists.
Right.
That's their story. And until we destroy them and break free of them, they're going to continue to lie to our kids and demoralize them.
Right,
they
it's a moral attack.
Do you see how they're attacking your kid? They're feeding him false history. They're advocating that he engage in actions that will endanger his physical and psychological health, promiscuous sex and what have you, and mixing with other inferior races. They're doing all of this because they are the real haters. We are the good guys. They are the bad guys. All you need to understand politics is six of the bad guys. And once you can open your mind to entertain that possibility, don't take my word for it, as William Pierce used to say, go out and investigate for yourself. The Jews are the bad guys. Once you understand that, or once you apply that, every door from history and politics along those corridors, every single door will fall open under that key. You'll see, oh, what if the Jews aren't the good guys? What if they aren't the beset victims? What if they are the perpetrators of lies, of extermination? Nations like at Katyn, Poland, where they tried to chop the head off the Polish people. What if the Jews aren't the good guys? What if the Jews are the bad guys? Can you open your mind to entertaining that possibility? Because all the evidence will back it up. We've given you 100 examples on today's show. We show you how Jews are queering the money supply. They're printing money. The Jews control the Fed. They print bogus money. Well, in the history books, they print bogus history. You understand how it all tends toward the same end, which is the rendering of you as a victim, subject to their schemes, fit only to live in the way that they allow you to live, like you're some kind of stock animal. This is the reason we're doing this show.
You know how Dick Jackson phrases it, Alex? Welcome Rothschild's cattle.
Sure. Yeah. I hope people grasp and profound a lie it is to lie not only about your origins, but to queer the money supply on you so that, yeah, you go out and work. Yeah, you work really, really hard. Like a lot of Americans, maybe you're working an $8 an hour job and you collect, you know, $200-$300 a week. And then the Jews will just simply run off a few $1,000 for themselves. Does that seem fair to you? That's exactly what's going on. They're stealing your purchasing power and turning it over to the niggers who will destroy you and blaming you for being a racist, for resenting any of this.
Yeah, and don't forget buying up USA remaining assets for pennies on the dollar with their Jew billionaires all over the world.
Yeah, you've got to protect yourself. I mean, look at gold. Gold is now, gold hit 1,000 last year and then it receded, I don't know, eight lower 800s, maybe 700s, and now it's back up there again. It was at 1,000 last week, and it's last I saw it was like 942. But I don't know what the right thing to do to tell you about investing, but you better have a little bit in each pot. And because the Jews are going to do is push roller coaster through. So the dollar's strong, now it's weak, now it's strong, and whatever they're going to do is try to skew at you doing the wrong thing. So whatever it is they're not talking about, that's probably what you want to be in. But always it's good to have real assets rather than they all have a central bank, and the central bank always prints money and the governments always run, they always do the Keynesianism, the deficit spending. They print money and they spend it on stuff, and then they tell you, oh, we're stimulating the economy, but always the value of your dollar, whatever it is you own, goes down. So people are the ones who are in the stock market, and now they've lost understanding that the stock market is manipulated by Jews for their own ends, and it's basically a kite casino. It's a form of gambling, and the Jews are the insiders at all these giant corporations. Believe me, by the time you know about some information, they have already known about it and profited from it long ago. So you're always in danger of being suckered in that stuff.
Alex, if I were in Kirksville, and I know, because I grew up really close to Kirksville, if I walked into the Kirksville bank and I were some local businessman there and said, I have my $85,000 account, I want to change it all to a little mishmash, I want some Swiss francs, I want some Japanese yen, even though they're not white, they always produce things and they're homogeneous, they're not affected by all this multicult crap, and they know they have to produce stuff because they live on an island, so I want some Japanese yen, even though they're going down right now, and I want some Chinese yuan, and I want a little bit of this and that, and some gold and silver. The fucking local banker will look at you like, maybe he can get you committed in Kirksville if he picks up the phone.
The only option they have here is get our CD for 6 months at like 2.3% or something like that. I mean, and that's what a lot of the old people do.
Yeah, but even if a guy got past the emotionalism of divesting himself of his own national currency, even though that it's 100% certain it's going to be hyperinflated before probably 12 months, maybe 18, maybe as little as 4 or 5, even if the guy emotionally got to the point where he could make the decision, even if you live in a big city, they'll make it inconvenient for him, although the fee for that is 10%, to change that.
Every which way you look, they're trying to bankrupt you. If you have a house, they're raising the taxes. If you have something saved, they're debasing the currency.
There is no one way to get around it. What you got to do is, all that stuff is online. If you want to trade in foreign currencies, there's Forex, there's various exchanges. A lot of people trade, or they play the stock market. That hasn't worked so well. You can still do that kind of stuff, but unless you want anything beyond a checking account or a CD, you're not going to want to deal with them. You'd want to do it online somewhere.
And don't forget bulk food and weapons and ammunition, really all those things.
Obviously,
everybody knows about weapons and ammunition because it's going through the biggest boom in...
Yeah, I don't know if you guys realize that over there, but they're on a tremendous buying spree for at least probably most of the last year, as they recognize like Obama's going to come in and they're probably going to try to shut more of this down. They're trying to reinstall the weapons ban that they had under Clinton. I think it was built in that it expired, and amazingly enough, it's all a joke. The cover story is, this is going to prevent... Mexico is basically breaking down right now, and there's all kinds of gang warfare there, and they're incredibly well equipped. So the pretext for banning of possession is that, this is going to work against the Mexican gang wars that are now bleeding over into our southwestern territories in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. But the idea of it is they want to prevent whites from being able to defend themselves, whether with words via the First Amendment or with bullets via the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. Everything that is done with an eye towards leaving whites open to colored predation.
This
colored predation.
Right. It's a full-scale war. It's a psyops war. It's a physical war, and it's an economic war.
Yeah, well put. They want your money and your daughter's legs open to their people and their penises and their sperm. You exist to serve them. You are on the buffet. You're on the smorgasbord for them to eat, white man. And it really is that crude, blunt, vicious, and literal. There's nothing complex about this. We are being dispossessed as possessed. And the way that they do that is persuade us that we don't exist as a race. And none of your fucking letter writing, your whatever. That's why I don't write. It's irrelevant. Once you understand this, I mean, you can either fight it physically, or there really isn't that much to say. It's pretty clear once you understand what's going on. You're not going to build an alternative media. Yeah, sure you are. Yeah, that's not what's going to save us, going to keep fighting back and destroying them. That's the only thing that will save us. The thing that works with Jews is shooting them in the head and throwing them in a canal. That's how you argue with the Jew, because the Jew won't allow you into his media to make your case against his case, because they don't have a case. Their case is, you owe us, you are guilty, you must serve us, you must be our slaves, you must allow yourself to be browbeaten for all eternity, you must swap out your genes with the niggers until you don't exist as a race. That's our plan for you, and we're not going to allow allow you to confront us and to argue against us. Because obviously people would side with us if they heard the arguments. They aren't allowed to know any of this to the extent the Jews can hide it from. So it's
let
a direct physical fight. Well, what else is there to do? What else is there to do? But, you know, what's going to happen is we'll keep pretending and keep getting worse and worse. Now they're saying that white children are already a minority in elementary schools in Texas, and whites are now projected to be the minority by 2042, so they've moved up the date from like 2050 to 20. And, you know, I still see, I was making fun of it earlier, their whole thing is a lot of these Republicans, oh, now we're post-racial, now we've removed, you know, racism as an excuse for black. Look, there's in North America, the blacks will still be blaming us for racism after we've entirely disappeared. After the last white guy dies, they'll be blaming us for racism.
Right, in Zimbabwe, there's 400 white farmers left, and they're still the problem.
And there's still the pressure on them. They not only get all the blame, you know, that they're the monkey move, their president, white trained, raised by the Catholic Church. He learned his schoolwork in Western institutions. He graduated with apparently valid degrees. He wants to dispossess, kill all whites, drive them out, even though his people are starving and his government is printing $1 trillion notes. They're still blaming whites.
You guys, let me ask you both something. What would happen, do you think, if of a sudden, after all this melee of whites and the failure of media and such, if in pretty rapid sequence, as happened with the Archduke, if Jane Harmon and Henry Waxman and Rahm Emanuel, for example, or maybe Philip Schlegel, the Assistant Secretary of Treasury, or maybe so many. Let's just say those three, Rahm Emanuel, Henry Waxman, and Jane Harmon, the killers of the First Amendment, those last two, were suddenly taken out within about a 3 or 5 or 7 day sequence, literally assassinated or murdered. What might happen? What would be the national reaction? Would it inspire others to take the same actions or increase that, depending on how severe the economic crisis in the United States was, or the literal breakup of the United States? I mean, these things might well happen. They're totally within the realm of possibility, given the current climate. When Soros talks about the breakup of the U.S., it's not all going to be peachy.
Well, what they would do is they would use that as a pretext. Rahm Emanuel has said, make sure you get full value out of every crisis. They would use it to crack down on free speech. They would use it to crack down on weapons. They would go after, browbeat, imprison pretty much anybody they could. I mean, most of the leaders of this stuff are already in jail now on various bogus pretexts, so they would do more of that. That's why, you know, advocating anything like that would come back against us.
Well, I'm not advocating. I'm saying hypothetically, but Aegis has made the point to me a number of times in conversations we've had that they take the actions and then they find the pretext afterwards. In other words, whatever form an out-and-out rebellion against troposphere and the destruction of the United States as they have waged against us takes, whatever form our battle takes violently.
Yeah, but whether we murder them or complain about them, they're going to press on with the same agenda, and whatever we do will just be another factor figuring into how they can better use it against us.
Right. 9/11 equated into attacking Afghanistan. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and the thing is, what they're doing works with most people because they never hear anything different, and most people are not really thoughtful or careful in their thinking, and
are ruined and ruined and ruined and ruined, they're going to think different.
Some of them, definitely there is a pressure in that direction. People have less to lose, they're going to be open to a broader range of explanations for what the problems are.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that at all. And I mean, they, as we've talked about today, I mean, my God, the country is probably at the worst point I think I've ever seen in terms of economically and what have you.
Culturally, economically.
A lot of this, it's not whether you're Jew or white. I mean, there are certain objective realities. And if you're doing deficit spending, you're creating these huge deficits in the name of, you know, restoring the economy and inflation. It just doesn't work. There are economic laws just the way there are biological laws. And you can't simply print money and cure a depression. Japan, the U.S. tried that in the 30s and it didn't work. But of course, they lie about that. They lie and say it did work. But it didn't work. Deficit spending makes it worse. What you have to do, it's just like an iron law of morality. Look, if you get overextended or first of all, the Fed's created the problem in the first place by printing money. So you don't have a stable money because it's not tied to something like gold. So the Feds print money so that they can have their guns and their butter, as economists love to say. And then when they inflate shit long enough, you get the boom and whatever, malinvestment because people think, oh, it's a new economy. It's not ever going to go bust again. I'm not going to put all my money in the stock market. It can't go down. I'm going to put all my money in housing and then a housing and then a house. I'm going to flip it in 6 months and make money. Well, these are speculative bubbles created because the Jews who run the government are simply running the printing presses and putting new money out there in order to sustain an economic boom. So nobody wants to take the medicine and be careful. No one wants to do the moral thing because it isn't fun. I work hard and trying to inflate by pumping more and more and more and more billions in until the money isn't worth anything.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, Alex. You're projecting Aryan values, Aryan economics onto a Jewish system, but see, they're at the controls. So they're driving this mofo right off the cliff.
Yeah, it's like every other area in American life is you can't even discuss the truth. It's not discussable. So you don't have any reality feedback correction loop. So your misperceptions become, you know, internalized beliefs and false beliefs that are not, you know, if you see a mirage on the road and you think you see some water in the desert, but when you get there, you realize it was an illusion. Illusion is internalized and assimilated. It becomes a false belief that prevents you from making out reality, prevents you from using your perception and your senses properly. And since you can't ever have the true explanation for any of our problems in the mass media, and you have that situation in place for decades, you get to where basically you might as well look at the U.S. and the Western world as being run by an evil, vicious cult, because you can't ever hear any reality like we're giving you here today, any faction or any explanation of what's going on. So you that can't be right. It's racist. You come to think in these wacky, cultish, crazy terms. You can't print money and spend your way out of a recession.
They don't even believe in causation. They have tens of millions of people don't even believe in the causation, logical thought, and a lot of them can't even use complex and compound sentences.
No, this is where we are after decades of public aids. The proper way to learn to read was de-emphasized, and they started bringing in bogus ways of teaching reading. And this dumbed down people to where they're basically, most people are more or less illiterate today. And if they could read, they wouldn't read. They just watch TV. And so,
and if they could read, yeah, they'd be reading the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's
Rocky Mountain High.
Not for long, thank God.
It's fed on itself for so many decades that it's like an impacted tooth. It's just rotten, and it's been rotten for so damn long that there's eventually nothing to do but break it down. I mean, if you wanted to solve our economic problems, get rid of government, to cut spending, to get rid of these departments. But no, the only solution you'll ever hear in the media, because it's celebrates that do exist, is more government. Get the government involved in more things, and then the things it's already in, get it even more involved. Have it take over healthcare. Have it start new foreign wars.
Have it take $1,000 cars like India. We need $1,000 cars. Tell GM to switch.
Well, that's what I mean. It's their solution is more tyranny.
It's like that more cowbell sketch. You know, no matter what the problem is, the solution is more cowbell, more fucking government. The same people already fail at everything they put on their plate. No,
there's Solinsky on DVD. Where are the Solinsky DVD training series?
Look, let the government, let the private insurers and banks who have screwed up, let them screw up business. Let GM go out of business. You can still build cars and make money. I mean, the German ones and the Asian ones and the Asian ones and the Asian ones. That's deficit spending doesn't work. It's not a racial thing. It's an economic law. They've tried it in Japan for 20 years. It doesn't work. You have economy recover. All the government can really do is keep the money stable. And they don't even have to do that. If they simply allowed private money to be printed and compete with their own, they would be driven out of business. And so if they even allowed that, money would be hard. And hard means reliable. And then businesses can invest properly. But when they fuck it up by printing billions of dollars and injecting that into the economy, they lead people to do crazy stuff because the consequences appear to be decoupled from, you know, what usually produces the result: hard work and saving. You save up your money, and through your proven providence, you have funds that you can then invest in new ventures. And if some of the ventures fail, as they always do, well, then you recover from that. But you learn, and there's checks to the system. But now there's no checks. You just do whatever you want, and, you know, the government will bail you out. They've just killed the culture in which the right type of thinking in people can get ahead.
Yes,
and therefore,
exactly right. Yeah, it's like if you have political connections, you get some of this wacky money where, you know, your company has to be, you know, 50% Nog or woman. You know, it's the only thing it can't be is 100% white, because that'd be discriminating.
There's even another aspect of that. Like, they're going to now move into healthcare, and from what I've read, what Hillary wanted in her original plan is they're very anti-spending. specialists. They want to put caps on how much doctors can earn. They want to make... The point is, when you give this power to government, the government is going to reward its friends and supporters, and it's going to punish everyone on the outside. And what people like Hillary Clinton and Barack want to do is they want to have all even more affirmative action for who gets into medical school. I believe there are actually like less going to medical school today than there were like 20 years ago. And now they're starting to whine about that there aren't enough general practitioners, there aren't enough specialists, because they can't make any damn money. They're only letting Asians, minorities, and women to become doctors. Not one of their problems, but what...
Send her in the federal program to be a physician's aide.
Yeah, you know, I wish I had that stuff at hand, the data I've seen on some of these medical schools, but yeah, they have all kinds of affirmative action, and that's why I have a lot of the problems, and then they've got to pay this gigantic insurance.
Yeah, it's just so like flying 747s.
There you go.
Man was holding them back.
The 2-year community college course in South Africa. Alex, yeah. we have this. They have this fat Jewess up on Pod Blanc, right? So I look at her video, and here's what she says. I teach a history, and I have a master's degree. I teach at Rockland College, I think, in New York, and I'm working on my PhD. She's 23 years old. So she says she knows all about the destruction in AD 70, Hitler. She goes down all the Jewish, talking points. Then she says, then there's Rome, and it was founded by Remus, and the other one, I think, Tiberius, I think.
Okay. Open heart surgery.
PhD candidate.
Brain surgery.
Yeah.
And get them all in there.
Who did she displace to get this goddamn job?
That's
eminently qualified.
The beautiful thing about the liberal arts is that bullshit flies. You know, where it doesn't know where it doesn't hear and stuff, or it's much harder to get it to fly. And so they can, as long as they're good little apparatchiks and they repeat the party line, you know, it doesn't matter. They don't have to be brilliant or learned or erudite.
Holly gets a cracker.
Yeah. I saw that. It's very definitely.
Well, closing statements.
Goodbye, America.
Well, it's just, you know.
Has it finally kicked the bucket? Is that?
No, it hasn't kicked the bucket. It's just being in a very predictable. I mean, you can see it degrading day by day, and you can see why it's happening, and you can also see that there's not a goddamn thing that can be done about it unless a power can be raised equal to the gangsters controlling the government. It will continue to decline and degrade in very, very predictable, chartable, mappable ways for the reasons we've discussed here.
Marijuana Arcan. That's what we need. Some ex-military guy to come out and shoot.
Don't take anything it says at face value. If it advises you to do something, the opposite is probably the wiser course. Protect America, the nigger communist Jura nation, as best you can, and try to find other people who think the same way and self-defense alliances. Hey, we racialists don't have any power. It's not us who are ruining the nation. It's the fucking Jew, commie, queer pedophiles who are ruining it.
But we're pretty bad to talk about it.
They'll be sure to throw us in jail for pointing that out.
It's not white racists who are running the printing presses. It's Jewish racists, you know? Not white racists who are starting wars abroad, sending people off to die and wasting trillions of dollars. It's Jewish racists who are doing that. White racists that pointed out what's going wrong and what's the wrong thing to do. We pointed it out every step of the way. They haven't listened to us. They've defamed us and smeared our character, but we have been right every single step of the way. If you've listened to all these goyfires over the past few years, America's falling apart, and it's because of the Jews, as we've said from day one. It's not our fault. We have ability for it. Our job is to defend our own and our own people against the Jews.
It's worldwide, too. It's not just in the Quad, you guys. Please remember.
Remember, we don't have to censor the Jews to make our case. They have to censor us. They have to throw our people in jail because we're telling you the truth.
They're a real despicable people, and they are very real and in very high positions everywhere you look, not just in the Quad, but in the European Union. And it's getting worse day by day. So, you know, do what you got to do. Closing statement, Shane, any?
Lock and load. Like
Diversify your investments. Acquire the physical means to defend yourself and your family. Keep your eyes open. Stay very alert. Stay out of debt. And persevere and realize you're in this for the long haul. And don't give up. Stay calm. Increase your skills. Increase your capabilities. Talk to other people. The truths that we're voicing will be around long and around, long and on. Stick to them. Don't believe the Jewish hype. Don't believe the Jewish lies. We are the good guys.
Yeah. Please, one other thing, guys. I hope Alex can expand on it. Our people... talk real straightforwardly. Okay, we just call a spade, and real simple things. Most of us are not super well educated. And even if we are, it's in some specialty. You know, people have high science degrees, but maybe they don't know much about verbalistic skills or history. But in any case, that's our tack. That's our way to speak really directly. It's historically been our way. It's the way most of our parents spoke with us, particularly our fathers. And that is not Jewish culture. Their ideas, this Hasbara and Tikkun Olam, all is a big front for control and to create myths, which others more simpletons believe in.
Yeah.
And to go about things in a roundabout, devious, obfuscating, trickery, kikery way. Just like that Jew who came out and talked about the white man, the white van. What was his name during the Malvo Muhammad shootings? The white man, the white van. And do they ever apologize for these things? No, they never do. And it's just wrong. They go about things, and they do it by deviousness, misrepresentation.
Jews see words primarily as a way to deceive, whereas whites see them as a way to communicate. And that goes back to spiritual, biological differences between our race. And we make our case with logic, and we encourage you to fact-check what we're saying, whereas the Jews simply lie. And anybody who doesn't go along with their lie, able to effectively refute and rebut them, why they throw that man in jail after describing him for years as a hater and an extremist.
Right.
These are the differences.
Their words are their counterfeit currency.
Yeah, and since they control the mass media, every single issue that they raise in their paper, you can well believe that before they ever put it in their paper, they have come up with terms for the good guys and the bad guys on the two sides of the issue. And they will always make those who oppose them morally evil, if not medically, and smear their opposition. They never present anything honestly or allow a genuine debate because they don't have to. And that's why they get into the media in the first place, because the media has that unique political aspect to it, whereas, you know, something like making furniture does not. It doesn't confer any political for profits, but the media confer profits and the chance to carry out anything you see from the Jewish media. They are lying to you to serve their own interests. Whether they have come to you in the pose of a left-wing communist or a right-wing conservative, they are ultimately Jews serving a Jewish agenda, and that means what's good for Jews is all that matters, even though what's good for Jews is bad for normal white people like you listening to this. That's what you have to understand, and that is what Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly will never tell you, because they are sellout traitor Shabbos goys who carry water for their Jewish bosses. That's what you have to understand.
Direct sneaking somewhere, I'm really